Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, and good to be with you. Hope you're all doing well tonight. Praise God, and it's a good night to be alive and to be in the prophetic realm, that's for sure. All right, it was really good to be here, and hopefully you're all doing well. If not, we'll be praying for you before tomorrow. So tonight, as always, we pray for our all we do is prophesy and minister to you personally. From caller to caller, we don't take any conversations unless it's an emergency situation. Then we do that, of course, but other than that, we do not. So get ready for that. And just most people understand that. All right, so let's get rolling. I have so much I want to say. There's many things I want to share about the political arena. I want to say some things that I believe are going on. Some words the Lord has given me that I've already warned people about some of it, and some of it's already happened, some of it hasn't happened yet. So we try to keep abreast of that and keep up on that so that people will know kind of what's going on. We try to document things as well. So, I'm going to document this a little bit tonight, so I'll just get ready for that. And, okay, hang on a minute. Ready to rock and roll tonight. We're going to share some things that I'll be documenting some things tonight. One of those nights, documentation night. Okay. All right, we're on. Okay, we are documenting this on our site tonight, and okay. Give me just a minute. Let's go here and share tonight. I want to share some things that I want to be made known in documentary-wise fashion. The words I've got. I remember I shared with you guys, some of you won't remember it, but I'm going to share with you the exact video that it was on. And let's see here. Yeah, I got the video that it was on, and I'm going to share that with you tonight so you can go back and listen to it if you want. I love it when I can't get it all together. All right. Okay, so we are going to talk a little political stuff tonight here. One of the things that I gave a word on back in January, actually January the 3rd or the 4th, 2019, that was right into 2019. One day I woke up and, you know, I just started thinking. I thought, well, they're calling Cyrus Trump and Trump Cyrus. Cyrus was a powerful man who did a lot for Israel. And there were some well-known preachers that were saying that Trump was like Cyrus. And you know what? I never got that word, but I thought that was pretty right on. I thought it was pretty cool. And so because of that, you know, one day I was asking the Lord, well, you know, because I had a word that he was going to be, you know, taken out. You know, remember that? January, November, December of 2018, I gave a word that Trump would be, you know, could possibly be assassinated. And so some of you remember that. And we went through the whole process of that. And it was a pretty big deal, at least it was for me, given a word, you know, on the government trying to take out somebody. Just try to give them one of those words. Literally, physically, going to take out Trump. And it was a pretty big deal at the time. It was to me. And I gave that word and didn't really know exactly how it was going to be physical. He's going to be physically assassinated, or they were going to assassinate his character, which, of course, they've been doing that, no doubt. But I felt like there was a lot more to it than that, but I just didn't really know. And so God had given me a word to look up. It's one of those things where I didn't have a dream or vision about it, but it was definitely one of those things where God spoke to me, and it was confirmed supernaturally. And so I'm going to share some of that tonight and then give you where it was found at, where you can find it on the PGN Network, in case you want to look it up for yourself. So you can do that also. Okay, here we are. I'm trying to get all organized here. My computer situation is a little bit different. Okay, so on January the 3rd, I gave a word. About Nancy Pelosi cutting Trump's head off, okay? And so in that season, the way I came up with that thought process was I asked the Lord, I said, well, if Cyrus is Trump and I'm getting the word about him being assassinated, then how did Cyrus die? So I asked the Lord, how did Cyrus die? So I started looking up Wikipedia, and I did research. And on Wikipedia, you look up Cyrus, and it shows three scenarios where Cyrus was killed. And the one that I noticed and kind of thought it was interesting was that there was a woman in a little country near Russia, Kazakhstan, and her name meant bold one. And so when I saw that she had his head cut off, Cyrus's head cut off, I thought, well, that's weird. So I just Googled bold one and something else. What else did I put in there? Bold one. I Googled bold one. And something else. Anyway, it came up that about Nancy Pelosi and some type of Facebook that she put out that said, "My mother will cut your head off, and you won't even know you're bleeding." So I read that. I was so blown away because she had just put it out the day before, on January the 2nd. You can look at all this stuff. It's all on the internet. And so that weekend, I watched the Mike Huckabee show on TBN. And he brought up the same exact, you know, Facebook, I think it was a Facebook post that she made, that Nancy Pelosi's daughter made, says, my mother will cut your head off, and you won't even know you're bleeding. And she just got elected to the voted in to run Congress, right, to run the House Speaker. And so not long after that, I shared it a couple of times. And one night on one of our, I think it was our Wednesday shows on September the 21st, 2 hours and 28 minutes into the show, I'm talking with somebody from the show, and it was Shannon. You all know Shannon. And I'm talking to Shannon, and Shannon asked me a question. And I said, well, I got to tell you about this. I reminded him about a word I'd given about Pelosi and about how that she was going to cut Trump's head off, you know, I think spiritually speaking, symbolically. And, you know, and so I shared the story on that. So you can go to September the 21st, 2 hours and 28 minutes into the show, and you'll hear me talking to Shannon about the situation. So I, in connecting all that, I was talking about how that the professor, the professor who had documented that he had said Trump was going to lose. He first said he was going to win his first election, and he did. He didn't even like Trump. He's a diagonal Democrat. Said Trump was going to win. And then in the second election of Trump, he said Trump's going to lose. And so before he put that final prediction out, he made some other kind of guesswork, you know, putting information together. He said before that, he said Trump would win the next election unless they impeach him, which they did the first time. He said if they impeach Trump, then everything together, he will lose the presidency of the United States. And I was shocked by that. I kind of went, what? That's amazing. And then he went ahead and predicted later on, and I had that on my show on September the 21st, 2 hours into the show, about the professor, and we're talking about that and Nancy Pelosi. The word I got on that on January 2019 about him having his head cut off. And so who was the person that had him impeached? It was Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi brought it forth, and because of what Nancy Pelosi brought forth in Congress, they decided to impeach him. Even though the Senate didn't allow it to be final, still he's known as an impeached president. You know, it's like, you know, Clinton. Clinton was impeached, even though the Senate voted for him to stay in office. He still is known as an impeached president, so it's President Trump, be impeached twice. So the Senate didn't allow it to be, whatever you call it, completed, but it still went down in history twice as being impeached. And that was done by Nancy Pelosi. Basically, Nancy Pelosi is the one who put all that together and had that happen. So the amazing thing about that is that there's so much going on in the Republican Party. They have strategies. This is what I want to talk about tonight. They have strategies that you need to know about. And one of them is with the vaccine. Now, some of you have been really against the vaccine. I think we had Barbara on. I haven't talked to Barbara from Texas in a long, long, long time. She came on the show the other night. She said she was vaccinated. Well, I've never had any words against the vaccination. And so, therefore, to me, you know, I didn't demonize it, though. I don't take it because I don't take those things. I just don't take them. I never take them. I haven't taken them in years. I don't take the flu shot. I don't take anything. And I'm not against them for people. God just doesn't let me do it, right? So that's been my word. I've been talking about that. But here's the thing that's going on, friend. 45 million white Republicans. Let me see if I can get this. I'm going to give you some information right now. That may surprise you a little bit, but about what's about to happen. And if I can get to it here. Okay, give me a second. Yeah. Here we go. 41 million white evangelicals. That's just the white evangelicals, not the blacks and the Mexicans and Chinese and whoever else. 41 million white evangelicals, and 45% of that 41 million, just of the white evangelicals, say they will not or probably won't get the vaccine. Right? So that is about 18 million people who will not have gotten the vaccine, just in the white evangelicals, not including other people who don't believe the vaccine. They've demonized the vaccine. I haven't demonized it. I'm just not going to take it because I just don't take them. You know, I'm not against it. I don't know. God's never spoke to me anything evil about it. I think there's things wrong with all of them, and that's why I don't take any of them. So I just don't do any of it. And so they're man-made, and they're good for some people, I guess. I mean, the flu shot has been taken by a lot of people. A lot of Christians have taken the flu shot. But I haven't, just because God spoke to me and told me that he didn't want me doing that. But as far as telling people to not take the flu shot, I've never done that. I would never do that. If you feel led to take it, take it. I have a lot of friends that take the flu shot. No big deal. It's not a Christian thing. It's just a thing I think God showed me. For me. So when it comes to voting, the way they're doing with all of the cancel culture and all this stuff going on, to where if you don't have your vaccination card where you've been vaccinated, you are not going to be able to show up as a Republican or as a non-vaccinated person and vote. So this is just one of the strategies. And I'm downloading this tonight, or uploading this, whatever you want to call it. I'm documenting this tonight that the Republicans are going to, at least, this is just white evangelicals. This is the information I got today. And it's not even including the black evangelicals that don't believe in the vaccine. There's got to be a bunch of them. So there's going to be at least 20 to 30 million people who are not going to be vaccinated because they feel the vaccination is evil or just not really good for you at all. It's going to kill you, maybe. And so, because of that, friend, they are not going to let those people into the voting booth. You're watching right now the news what the government is doing in restricting people who don't have the vaccination, right? Are you watching this? They're talking about it. And this is just 2021. 2022, they're going to be voting. And then 2024, which I think Trump will probably run in 2024, you know, and I will vote for him. He's not going to win, but I'm going to vote my conscience, right? So, but what's going to happen is, this vaccination situation is going to be with the variant that's going on and all the pumping of the variant. Now the variant's more, it's everybody can get it really easy. It just passes on very, very easy. And it's really, really worse than the first. And they're really pumping that thing about the variant. And you can see an acceleration. And one of the reasons that one of the things they're going to do with this, as a Democratic Party, a strategy is they're going to tell people, if you are not vaccinated, you cannot go in and vote. You can't go to the voting booth. And then they're going to do some things that will not allow you to, say, well, absentee voting, because, you know, Trump has really fought, and all the Republicans are fighting a lot of this absentee voting stuff. You can't – it's not called absentee voting, but I can't remember what it's called exactly. I don't have it written down, but they're going to use all that, friend, to defeat the next Republican candidate for president, whether that's Trump or whoever it is. So you have to realize, if you think that can happen, how many things have you said wouldn't happen and won't happen already that have already happened and are now happening, like maybe Joseph Biden being president, all right? So I'm just telling you tonight, this is, I'm putting a warning out there. I'm blowing the trumpet. I'm saying to people, you know, I'm not saying get vaccinated. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying anything about the vaccination. Get the vaccination or don't get the vaccination. I'm not going to get it because I just don't. And if I can't vote, then whatever. And if I can't send in saying I'm sick or something to vote, and if they stop that, then, you know, whatever. They may ask proof for vaccination just to make sure everybody gets vaccinated, whether you show up at the voting booth or not. So the non-vaccinated people are going to be a lot of people, not just Republicans and Christians. and conservatives, but there's also some other people. But most of the people that are rejecting the vaccine, which they're going to use that as a way to win an election, to stop you or whoever you are, if you're, you know, one of these people that has, believe that the vaccine is really, really bad for you and it's going to kill a bunch of people, so you're not going to take it. The information has been passed down a lot through some of the TV networks. Only one Christian TV network that I know of, the big one, is Daystar. Joni Lamb has been pumping it big time. I believe that some of the people that have been feeding her information are of the system people giving her this information. I believe there's people going to die from every vaccination, a lot of things. They die from a lot of things that are taken many years ago, and then they end up having problems when they grow up or whatever, causing them mental issues and, you know, whatever. But this thing has been pushed so hard and demonized so hard that it's got people scared to death to take it. And, friend, I believe that, yes, there's some things wrong with it, like there is any vaccine. That's why I don't take any of them. But it's not as bad as they're saying, as Joni and Base Tornado are saying it is. A lot of that information that those people that get on their show and talk about all this stuff have hyper demonized this thing to the point that it's reaching all these Christians who are going to be voting and Republicans are going to be voting, and they know this. You think they don't know it? They're planting those people to give some good information with a lot of really hyper bad information to get people to not take the vaccine, and you already see it everywhere in the news. They're already talking like, well, you know, you're not vaccinated, you can't go to work. If you're not vaccinated, I don't know, you know, it may happen from state to state. I don't think the government can oppress every state. They may try, but they're trying to. They're going to work on it, and believe me, it's going to take out some of the Republican votes for the next Republican candidate. I don't know who you vote. You may be a Democrat, for all I know. I don't really know, but it doesn't matter to me, but get ready for that, friend. Get ready for that. That's going to happen. And it's already happening. All right? So get ready. Also, I want to talk about this new thing that Gary and Mary sent me today, this new imagery thing that they're talking about, using a system facial video deception where they take pictures of you off of Facebook or wherever you have it, and videos maybe you have of yourself on Facebook or wherever you have it, and they cut out a facial of you. And then they have you saying things on a video that you never said. They did a thing, an experiment with this, with Obama's face. They took Obama's face and they put five of them in a link, and they said, which one of these is not Obama? You know, the real Obama. And I think there were six of them. And they all talk like Obama. They look exactly like Obama. It was Obama's face, but it wasn't really Obama. And he was saying things that I think Obama probably didn't say. I don't know. But this is a new thing that we're going to see accelerate, and Gary and Mary brought this to my attention today. I knew a little bit about it because Hillary Clinton had said that they were probably going to do that with her, where they're going to make videos of her saying things she didn't really say and making it look like she said it. Well, this is the imagery that we're talking about. It's a new imagery. They're going to use it with videos. It's a big deception thing. If some of you who are dyed in the wool Jesus, lovers of God, let's say they decided to, you lead, maybe you're a pastor and you lead a flock of 30,000 people, you know, or maybe 100,000 or a million, and they decide to mess you up. So they get some of the videos off of whatever link that they can get it off of, and they take your face off that, they take your mouth off of it. And then they fix it to where it's exactly your face and you saying things that maybe you didn't say, like denying Christ and saying, oh, the false Messiah, the Messiah that's coming on the scene now, I believe in him as a Messiah instead of Jesus. This is the new Messiah. And yet that pastor or evangelist or whatever would have never said that, but they're going to use it to deceive people. And this thing is, and I could go on and on about this because there's a lot more to it, and how they tweak it and how they make it real. So this is something I want you to pray about tonight. I know this is not all good news tonight, but I'm giving you this information tonight so that you can be warned. You know, this is the technology realm we have got to, and here's my last thing I want to say about this. The technology realm is going to be taken over by the world, one world system. As you already see it happening already, right? They're taking off all the conservatives. You say something they don't like, they take you off of it. And so this has happened with Donald Trump. It's happened with a lot of conservative people. It happened to well-known people who don't like what the system's doing. They talk bad about the system, what the system believes, and they take you off of it. So they're going to own that part. So I think one good thing that the Donald Trump era has brought is the fact that God is using that situation to get a whole separate kind of technology, of a system set up so that they can't shut you off and you can reach your people, you know. And it can be, you know, I don't know if they can do it through satellites. We've got to have our own satellites. We've got to have our own banks. We've got to have our own everything. We start moving toward this. And so, you know, this is very, very important to put in your prayer time, is that they're going to be taking over the systems of which we have reached people and talked to people. And I think they're going to take, you know, your text, and you'll be sending a text to somebody, and they can take over your text, and they can say something in your text that you didn't say. They can say something and hide it from you, knowing, and the person at the end is going like, oh, my God, I can't believe you just said that to me, just to stir up things. And when they do this thing with the video, and then they cut you off from being able to talk to the person, Pastor, I can't believe you just announced Jesus, and you just said that this new Messiah that's come on the scene is in Jerusalem now. You're saying that he's the real Messiah. He's the Christ and not Jesus anymore. I can't believe he said that. Well, they won't be able to. They're going to try to fix it to where they can't even contact them to find out if they really said it or not. And then they're going to keep doing it over and over again until they wear people out with, you know, what this person says, though he didn't really say it. And they're going to do it time and time and time again to the point where it's going to cause such confusion and such a questioning of that particular pastor or whatever, or evangelist, or world-known evangelist, or whatever, all of a sudden denying Christ, and you see him saying it with his face, with his hair, with everything, and this thing is real-looking, man. Y'all, this is a real-looking thing. This is not just some half-baked bunch of kids out there trying to make videos of people saying things. You know, saying this is professionally done. It is amazing. So you need to get ready for that. You need to get ready for that. You need to start praying about it, believing God with it. And one last thing I want to say about it before I move on is that the fact that they are, you know, the pre-tribulation people that preach pre-tribulation are not going to be with us on this. You know why? Because they're saying, we're not going to mess with that and invest in that. We're not going to invest in a new system to communicate. We're not going to invest in that because we're not going to be here for that. So we're not going to, you know, give money and help you guys set up a system that's going to be here to counter the Antichrist, because we're not going to be here for the Antichrist. And so of their belief system and all the people that believe that with them, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing how God's going to have to set up things. And so we need to pray. We need to believe God. I'm just speaking these things tonight so that you will understand kind of what's coming down the pipe and realize that, you know, with the technology situation they have going on, a lot of the things they're going to be doing is going to be very deceiving. Well, there you go. Very deceiving. So the whole realm about the Antichrist is about deception, right? So we have to remember that in dealing with that, we're dealing with a realm of deception. So we got to get words from God about all the different ways they're going to try to deceive, right? Because that's what the Antichrist comes to do, is to deceive people, even the very elect. So it's going to have to be some pretty good deception. Y'all see what I'm talking about? You see where I'm coming from? It's going to have to be some very good deception to receive, to even possibly deceive the elect. All right? So get that in your craw and get that, put that in your Holy Ghost pipe and smoke it with Jesus. Because I shouldn't be promoting smoking, because I don't smoke. So there you go. I wanted you to hear that. We're documenting this tonight, and I'm going to try to put it in the information here on the site. I want to change it right now so that we will have it. I'm going to put in there. vaccine voting. Okay, I just changed the name of the show to Vaccine Voting. That's how you can remember it. Then it's got Randy Chenner. Randy's prophetic, personal prophetic was on it. I just changed the name of it right now and to Vaccine Voting. And then we'll kind of know where to send you if you want to look it up, this show, and re-listen to this, because this information is going to be very important to remember. You know, just like we talked about the Nancy Pelosi word, I gave that word in January, or early January, the first week or so of January, and then I've talked about it off and on with other people on the shows. Some, you know, like with Shannon and I talked with him about it, you know, late into the show. It's about 2.5 hours into the show. But I've been finding those shows and talking about them. So if you get a chance, you want to listen to them, you need to find out, make sure that I really said that, then it's really there. So, all right. So let's get ready to take callers tonight and see how everybody's doing, seeing what's going on, making sure you're doing good, and praying for everybody. We may start early, prophesying tonight. We may start early tonight. But there's several things. I've just documented some things tonight. That's what I've done. And I really do a lot of teaching, but I'm doing a lot of prophesying and warning people of what is to come, right, what is to come. So the vaccine situation and non-vaccinated are going to be used to one of the strategies. It's only one of the strategies. It's going to be used to defeat the next president of the United States, the Republican president, you should say. Believe me, their strategy, you think they're not planning this out? And the Democrat people who don't want the Republicans to win, no matter who it is, you think they're not planning stuff? You think they didn't plan the whole Joe Biden thing? And we gave words about that 2 years in advance, even using Nancy Pelosi to cut your head off and you wouldn't even know you were bleeding. All of a sudden, Donald Trump was no longer president, and he didn't even know he had his head cut off. But it was already done because we warned about it in 2018. October, November, December, we started warning about it right then, and then all through the years, we warned about it, that just like Caligula was, you know, didn't even know it. He'd been set up, and he was dead. All of a sudden, he was alive. He was alive one moment, and all of a sudden, boom, he was dead, out, no longer in, and did not ever get back in. In his case, he was dead. So. If you re-listen to and rethink about the words that we gave about Trump, he's now dead in the water. He's been dead in the water for a while. But even though if you're like me, you voted for him, that's the sad part about that. But he was the best person to vote for. He did a great job. Nobody's done anything for our country as good as he has. And so we really appreciate him. But I can't prophesy to you what I think. I have to give you, you know, or what I vote for, but I have to give you, you know, what God has given us, right? Yeah, so that's what's going on. That's what we share here. We don't share what God wants. We share what God's going to allow to happen or what is going to happen. Okay, and that's January the 16th. I'm sorry. January the 16th. The show on January 16th, 2019. We got two different shows I can share tonight. One of them was, the one I didn't tell you right correctly was the January the 16th, 2019. I'm talking in the show there, and it's a little ways into the show, but it's there, and we're talking about it. And then September the 21st, we're talking about the professor situation that I talked about. I'm talking about that professor where the professor came on and said that Trump was going to lose. Remember that? It was by questions that he asked or answers. He asked certain questions that he asked, 13 of them. And he answered those questions, and if more than those questions, too many of those questions are no, answered no, then it means the president's going to lose. And he's been getting it right ever since Ronald Reagan. So whether they were Republicans or Democrats. So it was pretty amazing. It's the most amazing thing I ever talked about. That's why I brought it up on the show, because it was extremely important. And even my friends who are non-PGN people that I share this stuff with were blown away by that, and they kind of like were shaken by it and said, well, you know, you may be right about the Biden thing. And so, yeah, so, and we gave that word, you know, 2 years before he said that, so, or a year and a half. So January the 16th, go to the show and you find that. And then also the professor thing where it said Trump loses, I shared that on September the 21st. 2 hours and 28 minutes into the show. You might write that down. If you want to check it out, you can. Hallelujah. All right. I'm sure all that didn't make a lot of sense. You have to listen to it again and again maybe, but that's what's going on with it. So we are sharing that and documenting that information tonight about the voting, the vaccine, confirming that again, that that's where they're headed with it. You can see it. It's just happening everywhere, man. It's happening everywhere. And, yeah, so you got to get ready for that. You got to be prepared for that, right? Got to be prepared for it, right? It's not about bad news. Why are you talking about bad news for? You're talking about, supposed to talk about good news. Well, the good news is that we're warning people about the bad news, what happens, to prepare them, all right? So get ready. That's all I can say is get ready. All right. Okay, here we go. All right, let me get some water. We're going to start prophesying to people and praying over people. All right, thank you for being here. All right, hopefully everybody can hear me tonight, and we are on, and we're going to be ministering to you tonight. If you can't hear me, let me know. If you can't hear me, you're not going to be able to know that I'm asking you to let me know, right? That doesn't make any sense, but I said it anyway, just to see what somebody would do. All right, so thank you for being with us tonight, and we are going to take the callers right now and pray and prophesy over everybody. So, all right, 585, you'll be first tonight. 585, 734, you'll be second. 734, then 972, be after that. 214 with a 5. You'll be after that. And then 325, 280, you'll be after that. 25, 202, after that. 610, after that. 754, after that. 912, after that. 863 after that, 8903 after that, 903, 903, and then 312 after that, 478. I mean, you guys, let me know if they're charging you for this. Because we may have found a way to work around it. I will be able to call you from the switchboard, but I'll just need you to text me and let me know that you're on, or that you're wanting to be ministered to and that you're listening. And then 720, let's see, you got 478, and then 903, and then 831, and 720. And so there you go. All right.
Okay. Some of you don't have your hand up. 239, you don't have your hand up. 912-398, you don't have your hand up. So if you want your hand up, you don't have it up there, so you might want to get it up. All right, let's take our first caller tonight and see what's going on. All right, 585, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hi, this is Anonymous.
Hi, Anonymous. Okay, good to have you. All right, Anonymous, thank you, Jesus, Lord, for Anonymous. Lord, I thank you Thank you, Jesus. All right. For the afterthoughts of things, you know, like once you do something, once something happens to you or for you or against you or whatever, you have an afterthought about that. Like, you know, you think about it the next day, you think about it, whatever. And so sometimes our first thought about something may be negative, like, oh, no, that was a negative thing that happened to me. But the afterthought in the Holy Spirit may be like, oh, you know what? You know, and you think about it the next day, you're going like, Lord, what was that? That felt really negative and felt really oppressive. Like, is that you? What is that, the devil? What is that? And the Lord's showing you, you know, hey, and the Holy Spirit afterthought of a thing happening, a circumstance, a situation. You go, you know, Lord, show me that. And Lord sometimes going to show you that that wasn't as, you know, sometimes our first thought is negative. It is with me anyway. Sometimes my first thought about something is like, well, that was negative. And then I realized, you know, no, wait a minute. I just took it wrong. That was really somebody crying out. They weren't really angry at me. They were just angry and in pain. And I took it personal or something like that. And so, you know, you see what I'm saying? And some of it can be the other way around. It may sound good, but the afterthought, the Holy Ghost afterthought is, that's not really good. That wasn't really a good thing. Somebody's, you know, playing a game or whatever, or they're under the influence of the enemy. And so God's going to give you Holy Spirit afterthoughts about things, you know, like don't be, you know, feel bad because you took it wrong the first time. It's like, oh, that was a bad thing or a wrong thing. No, you know, God's going to show you how to, you know, rehash things. Sometimes we got to meditate on it and ask him about it. You know, was that good? Was that wrong? Was that right? Was that, are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to show me that somebody's in pain? You know, I took it personal like they were attacking me or whatever. You know, well, that's, I do that sometimes. Like, well, that was a negative. Like, what are they trying to say? They're coming against me or something. So God giving you an afterthought. Amen. In Jesus' name. So open her Anonymous up to that, God, so she can properly interpret or properly discern what a conversation or a situation or a circumstance, what it really was, what it really meant, the purpose of it. So we don't take our first thought and run with that, but the Lord gives us an afterthought about what's going on with those situations. Amen. All right, 734-672. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Jennifer from Michigan.
Oh, hi, Jennifer. Okay. All right, Jennifer. All right, Jennifer from Michigan. All right, Jennifer, thank you, Jesus, for you know, the substance of your faith. God is really showing you how to let the fire of God do away with, you know, like burn away the fluff of faith, the fluff of the, you know, what we think we want or whatever, you know. I mean, this happens to us all Christians I know of. God's always, you know, taking the chaff, and he throws the whole thing, the wheat and the chaff, up in the air. And the chaff, because it's empty, blows away, right? And the things that have substance to them stay. And so I see God really, you know, taking through the process of the things that you get the chaff and the wheat all in one thing. So that's what they used to do in the old days. They would toss it up in the air and let the wind blow away the empty chaff and burn it or whatever. You get a pile of it, and then we burn it up. And then, you know, the wheat, they would gather into the barn or whatever. And so I see God really showing you how to throw that up in the air, so to speak, in the air representing the Holy Spirit, the air representing, you know, the Holy Ghost, and letting him Okay. All right. Yeah. So, you know, showing you in your faith how to find what's real faith and what's chaff. Showing you what, you know, has real substance to it and what isn't. Because what doesn't have substance in it, like the chaff, you know, once you, I don't know exactly how they did it, actually. I know one of the ways they did it was they would beat the wheat stalks, you know, against something, and then, you know, the chaff would separate from the wheat, and then they would take that and toss it up in the air when the wind was blowing and let the wind blow away. That's kind of the way they didn't have to separate it out themselves and, you know, kind of figure out what was wheat and what wasn't it. They would toss it up in the air, and the only thing that was left was the wheat, you know, the seeds, which had substance to them. They were heavy. The wind didn't blow them, but the wind blew away the empty chaff. And I see the wind blowing away, the Holy Spirit wind blowing away the chaff and leaving you with just your real faith and real seeds. Seeds are what? They're works from God. They're purposes. They're things that God has given you. And that way you don't plant in your life. You don't waste your time having to dig through the chaff. You know, God's showing you, just like in the old days, what they used to do, and the chaff got separated from the wheat. And then they would burn the chaff up, you know. They would get rid of it. It was worthless. It used to be good, had a good purpose, and now it's not. It helped. It was part of the plant that grew your faith. So the things that are part of your life that grew your faith, sometimes they become worthless and valueless anymore because you produce new fruit. New fruit means an old seed grew up and grew a bunch of other seeds, right? Harvest time. Harvested the new seeds, and the old seed and the old stalk and the old chaff that it becomes worthless. And that's what a lot of people have a hard time dealing with, what's worthless, because it's so important. It just that grew me up in the Lord. Oh my gosh, you know, I'm so connected to that chaff. That was part of me at one time. That's what covered me and protected me, and you know. And then one day, you know, all of a sudden, you know, when I was ripe, it's like it all went away. You know, I kind of like an emotional connection to things. But, you know, also when stuff becomes worthless in your faith, which maybe used to have been good, it also just becomes empty, you know. So sometimes things we go through, what used to mean something to us and were important to our life, now become, they're empty. Why? Because they're like the chaff. They now are worthless. They were used a lot. They were everything to our growth, everything to our fruit. But now it's like when the harvest time comes, it becomes worthless. That's the process most people are not used to dealing with. So anyway, God's going to show you how to work with that. Hallelujah. God bless you. All right, 972-695. I know this, who am I talking
it's
to?
It's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
All right, that's my friends, my good friend, Terrence and Tanisha, are kings and priests, yeah, of the Lord. Yeah, and that's one thing that just came right out of my mouth right away. Kings, you're not kings and priests, but a kingdom of priests. Most people think that scripture means kings and priests, but it is a kingdom of priests. In fact, Terrence and Tanisha, I just listened to that today, where God called his people. You know, when he built the tabernacle and tent, the tabernacle, he built that, and he started talking, and he started saying that, you know, when he called them his people, he called them, you know, a kingdom of priests. And so it's not kings and priests. It is a kingdom of priests, and you know a little bit about that because I've talked with you guys about that. You've talked with me about it. We've talked about this before. And that's what God is doing. He is raising up a priest. Number one, priests don't sell Jesus. There's certain things that priests just don't do, you know, and God has been establishing you and reestablishing you and teaching you and training you guys, both of you, of, you know, what a real priest does. And so today the priests are merchandisers. You know, as you know, we talk about this a lot. They're merchandisers. Most of them are merchandisers. What has that merchandise done? It didn't send them to hell. But it sends them to, in a whirlwind, it sends them, it puts holes in their pockets where, like Benny Hinn, he even talked about himself. You know, I don't know if he'll keep that up or not. He may go back to merchandising again. I wouldn't be surprised if he's already doing it, but because it's a difficult thing to stop doing. But when you start out right And the priest, the true priest of the Lord, are those who, you know, do it God's way. And God set a pattern in the tabernacle for the priest. And he said the way the priest didn't get an inheritance. Yeah, that's not fair. The priest didn't have an inheritance. The Lord was their inheritance. In other words, what came in from the people, so to speak, was their inheritance. And once the kingdom was set up and once everything was rolling, they no longer had to, you know, do what they were doing before. They were a kingdom of priests. And so the priests, the real priests, were pure. They were undefiled. They weren't, you know, doing, you know, merchandising, selling, you know, the word, selling the law and information that God gave them. Yeah, yesterday God spoke to us for a half an hour. We're going to put it in the book and sell it to you, you know. Like, could you imagine Moses doing that? Because God talked to him for days and days and days and days. When you read that in Exodus, man, it is amazing how much he just talked to Moses. He just talked to Moses. Why did he talk to Moses? Because Moses was a priest of God. He was a kingdom of priests. And in him was a kingdom of priests. And his people were a kingdom of priests. And his family was a kingdom was of the priesthood. And so God's really going to show you that the way he's going to bless you is because of the purity of God's priesthood in you guys. And measuring and comparing us, priest to priest, to the priests that are pure in the sense, not that we're perfect, we're not perfect at all, but there's some things that God just says don't do, and one of them is don't merchandise. And there's other things that God says don't do, but one of the main things we've known is that the body of Christ has defiled themselves with, the priesthood has defiled themselves with in a major way. It opened themselves up to greed and lust is the merchandising room. And so God really separating you guys out and showing, you know, the power of God through a pure priest. God's going to use you guys to show the power and the authority of a pure priesthood. You know, Paul was of the priesthood too, even though he did work at times. There's different things like, but he didn't merchandise the word of God, and eventually God, you know, put him in a place where he took care of him. You know, but so that's what God's doing, and it's the purity of the priesthood. God's going to use you guys as an example of the new generation of priests, like the ones that entered into and entered into the promised land. You know. None of that generation, none of their fathers, priests, or anybody entered into the promised land. It was all the young ones. Yeah, the young ones. And so God is bringing in, you know, Joshua and Caleb were not young, but at the same time, you know, God was, you know, showing that showing the purification realm of what happens when God purifies a generation. The 20-year-olds, the new crew, if you will, Peter, James, and John's of the New Testament, the 20-year-olds of the old that were of the old crew who came out of Egypt, the new ones were pure. They weren't even circumcised. Their parents didn't even circumcise them. I mean, they didn't get circumcised until they entered into the promised land. I mean, read it. It's amazing. But in the sense that they were not indulged into the worship of the golden calf and the whole thing, all that. These guys were not held. They were not even old enough. Now, listen to this, man. This is amazing. I'm getting this fresh right now. They were not old enough to be held accountable. They may have watched their mom, dad, what are you doing worshiping that golden calf, man? That's a shiny, cool-looking thing, but are you sure that's right? You know, okay, whatever you want to do. But they were too young. They were not accountability, right? They were not the age of accountability. So they couldn't – they had – even though they watched it and they watched mom and dad, you know, I remember when I was 3 years old, that golden calf thing, man, that just, like, took off big time. And then all of a sudden Moses came down and it was not good. So as I'm getting this word, this is being downloaded to me right now. The new breed, the new crew, were not part of the old. They didn't do the things that the old ones did.
Therefore, they were just automatically innocent, even though they were, you know, human beings. They were automatically, because they were 20 and they were enough age of accountability, becoming guilty of what their parents were doing. That's why God could say, okay, because of the age of accountability, you guys are innocent. Because I always wondered how in the world could their children be innocent when they're all the same bloodline. Because of the bloodline, right? But God didn't see them as guilty of doing all that because they were children. You know, I just got this right now. This is the first time I ever got this. Right now. The first time. I'm getting this right now live. It's about the 20-year-old thing. I mean, I knew about the 20-year-old thing, but this, you see what I'm saying? This is, wow. You guys draw this stuff out of me, man. I don't know what it is. But so you guys are just innocent, and I think I am too, you know, mainly because, you know, God, even though I was a part of that, it's like Joshua and Caleb were of age, but they were, you know, somehow God, you know, why did those two guys make it, the old guys, you know, the old part of the old generation? Why were they the ones? Because somehow, some way, God kept them pure. And I think that even though I was a part of that generation that did the golden calf merchandising thing and was, you know, believed in it, thought it was cool, you know, when God had us start PGN, he said, I didn't even realize all the importance of it. He said, if you want to start out right, in other words, if you want to start out pure and promise and go into the promised land of what I'm about to do, you're going to have to understand that merchandising is going to defile you. You can't do it. Don't bring that into my new thing. So if you want to be part of the new thing, don't bring that in. And I went, okay, didn't really know what I was doing exactly. All I know is God was speaking to me and giving me revelation so that we would enter into this thing so I could be kind of like, you know, even though I'm part of the old, somehow God has kept me, you know, innocent of it or made me, kept me pure from it somehow or another. Because I chose to, you know, walk away from it. So, but you guys are like, in the sense, you know, the 20-year-olds, so to speak, that are, you know, entering into the promised land, just innocent and pure as they can be, and went in and took their land. I love this stuff. Man, where does this stuff come from? The glory of God. Yeah. Wow. So y'all just drew that right out of me right there. I've heard it for the first time in my life. That is amazing. Wow, 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 wow. All right, so there you go. Thank you, Jesus. You know, which lines up with you guys, what you guys know about, that's been, you know, with us, is that you guys were the first fruits of the new priesthood, right? Isn't that amazing? I kind of put that together a little bit, but you guys are the first fruits of the kingdom of preached, right? You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Wow. Dude, this is amazing. Amazing. All right. That's it. I hope I made that plain like I saw it. That's really cool. All right. 214-563. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Mahogany, Texas.
Oh, hi, Mahogany. All right, good to have you, Mahogany. All right, bless you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Mahogany. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for, I see the Lord putting some new wind into your sails. You know, sometimes we go through times where there's no wind in our sails. It's kind of like we're having to work hard to make everything work hard to, you know, do stuff. And then all of a sudden, a breeze begins to blow, the wind begins to blow. And catches us up. You know, the wind does it. It's not our own energy and our own strength, but the wind of the Spirit, Mahogany, begins to blow, and that's what happens when you go sailing. If there was no wind, you wouldn't go anywhere. If you didn't have any sails, you wouldn't go anywhere. But you've got sails, right? And so the sails, sometimes there's no wind. It's like all of a sudden when the wind blows, like it picks you up, and it carries you. And I see God carrying you. I see the wind getting under your wings, so to speak, and giving you supernatural, you know, power of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit, to carry you along and to make things, you know, easier. One of the things that makes it easier is learning how to flow in the Spirit, learning how to, you know, listen to God and flow in the Spirit and do what God's telling you to do and learn how to do that. That's one of the things we try to teach around here a little bit. We're all striving for that, to be able to catch the wind. Because when you catch the wind, it just, you know, it takes you. You don't take it. You're not working hard and sweating. You just spread those wings and you go, whoa, and it begins to carry you and move you. And God's going to show you about that realm and show you that really does exist. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. In the Garden of Eden, before there was a curse, the wind was under their sails all the time. They worked with no sweat. There was no sweating. And yet there was a cool breeze in the garden, too. Keep them, you know. So anyway, very interesting. All right, Mahogany, God bless you. All right, 325-280, who I talk to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
All right, my brother Chris. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Jesus. There's just this activation realm. An activation, I think I've talked about this before, I can't really remember, but the activation realm of God activating things and showing you how to activate things. Because there's a season that comes that no matter what you do, things don't get activated. But all of a sudden, God starts opening up doors or opening up situations and putting the activation thing where it's how to activate. So now when you do things, it's like, okay, why? I did the same thing. I gave and helped and did, you know, did prayed and believed God before. How come it didn't activate that much? How come all of a sudden things are being activated? Because it's activation season. And also activation season, like, you know, sometimes the activation buttons are not revealed. All of a sudden, there's the activation buttons or levers or whatever. You mash them, you click them, and it activates things, causes things to come. But part of the activation thing that goes on is more about, you know, what goes on with, you know, seasons and positions that we get in. When God tells us to get in a position or to join and be a part of, you know, hopefully it has something to do with being part of PGN. I don't know if it does or not, but when you became part of PGN, you know, as God began to put you, not everybody belongs to PGN. I know that. I wish they did, but they don't. But those who do, when they become part of what, you know, God's doing in the prophetic realm or the prophet realm, it opens up the activation keys for them to activate things. And so so it's kind of at least right now, a twofold thing. One of them is, you know, the times and the seasons and for activation to happen. The second thing is that you step in by obedience to the realm of where God wants you, to the place God wants you, to position yourself for the activation keys or levers or buttons or whatever are made known to you, and all of a sudden you start going, man, I'm doing the same thing I've always done, really seeking God, loving God, but something's different now. What is that? It's because you stepped in to that, you know, that prophet realm, that prophetic realm, and that's where you fit. That's where God has called you. That's where God has made you a part. And because of that, now when you do things, something happens. Something gets activated. It's not just you do something and nothing works. Nothing really happens that much. I mean, it's happened, but not like boom, boom, the big things. God just begins to, you know, activate things. And, you know, so it's kind of like harvest time in a sense, but it's activation time, what I'm calling it, what the Lord's calling it tonight. Right? When that season comes, man, you're going like, man, I'm working twice, half as much as I used to, and look what's going on. More's happening than ever. And that's what you're going to start seeing develop in you because of my yoke is easy, my burden light. Burden is light. Isn't just a season, but it's a position that God, when you obey God and you become and start being a part of what God has made you a part of, and you start yielding to that and agreeing with that, your activations become easy. It's not, it's laborsome, and it's, you have to push so hard, man, to make anything work. Come on, in the name of Jesus. It's like all of a sudden you click, 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 push a button, click a button, hit a button there, and bing, 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 and it basically clicks in because God, the position, you positioned yourself. You have positioned yourself where God has wanted you, and therefore that obedience has brought the activation keys where it's easy. My yoke is easy. The yoke easy keys. Yeah, there you go. That's cool. All right, 202-722, you want to talk to where you're from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Nicole. I'm from Washington, D.C., and I'm asking for prayer for me and for my friend Samuel.
Samuel?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I hear that right? Okay. Awesome. That's a great name. I like Samuel. All right. Thank you very much. All right, Lord, thank you for Samuel tonight. Lord, we thank you for Samuel. We thank you for the producing of wealth. God, we thank you for the producing of wealth in Jesus' name. And Samuel, God, I don't know if that's physical wealth, what that wealth is, but the wealth realm it isn't about being multi-billionaires or multi-millionaires exactly, as much as it is, you know, having an abundance. In other words, you know, some people wealth would be $100 extra dollars a week. Some people wealth would be $1,000 a week. Some people it would be, you know, $10,000 a week. A lot of wealth. So, you know, wealth is different with different people, so it's not always the same. But so also wealth also means that into the wealth of, you know, of like being all of a sudden you were not part of a family, now you're all of a sudden you're part of a family that loves you, that cares about you, that you know, like, so they become part of a family that loves them and cares for them. That's wealth. I mean, you went from outside of that, now you're inside that, and now you're part of a family that, you know, God is connecting you with something where you feel at home, you feel like you're a part of it, and then all of a sudden you come alive as you're like going, wow, I've never had this before. You know, that kind of happened to me when I got saved, and then God brought me into people that believed like I did and felt like I did. And I felt at home to a certain degree with those people and felt love that I'd never felt before. And so I thank you, Lord, for Samuel, God, that you let him enter into that place of that family that he belongs to, that thing that he belongs to, that the wealth realm, the emotional, mental wealth realm where he feels secure and favored and loved and accepted the way he is and just nurtured. And thank you, Jesus, for that. And thank you, Lord, for opening up that realm for Samuel, God, to be loved and cared for. And it's like getting a new pet or something. You know, you just kind of like, you know, all of a sudden you just like, wow, I just love this thing. And you know, I know when we had Lulu, you know, Lulu became part of the family. It's like, you know, she was much more of a blessing to us than we were to her. But it's like she was just, you know, it was a fit. There's the fit thing again. It was a fit. It worked. So that's what I'm talking about, the wealth of what fits, the wealth of what works, the wealth of acceptance and love. And that's nothing like that. In a place where your faith is being nurtured, a place where you're being brought into your real purpose instead of the thing that you've always, everybody always said you're going to do, Samuel. It's like, so the dreams of God, and we thank you, Jesus, for that. All right. And for Nicole, God, we thank you for Nicole, God, that she's walking in that place of your favor, Lord, where she's going to see things that she's never seen before and know things she's never known before. And that's that realm of, you know, I think I gave that scripture the night about what eye hath not seen, neither ear hath heard, neither hath it entered to the heart of Nicole, the things that God has for her because she loves him, you know. That they shall be revealed by the Spirit of the Lord to those who yield. To those who yield, God reveals those things that have been hidden because a lot of people don't enter into, you know, the wealth realm, the hundredfold realm. Hundredfold isn't just money. Hundredfold is if Jesus walked in hundredfold and he didn't really care about having money, though he did, but the wealth he walked in was the wealth of the will of the Father. That's the greatest wealth we can walk in. And with that comes, you know, everything we need. So you're wealthy when you have everything you need and an abundance. Jesus had plenty of that, and it wasn't about money. It was, you know, we have that. When you walk in wealth, when you walk in hundredfold, you have everything. So I thank you, Jesus, for the everything realm, for the things that we don't walk in, you know, the lower realms. We walk in full, your full purpose. And when that happens, things that only happens by the secrets. There are secrets, the secret place realm, the things that are not known to us. Okay, something just happened. Okay, hang on a second.
Thank you. until now, press 1. Since it appears you're calling back into a live show.
Okay. We are back. A little problem there. All right, Nicole, so the thing that we're talking about tonight that seems to be going there is we're going is the things that cause people to walk in hundredfold or the higher levels of, you know, knowledge of God is that exact thing, the things that are hidden that I have not seen, neither ear hath heard, neither hath it even entered to the heart of man, the things that God has prepared. In other words, it's already been done. It's a finished thing, done thing. And God's going to show you the prepared realm. He wants to show you the prepared realm, the things that have been prepared for you. And because if we don't see the prepared realm by faith and then start stepping into it and walking toward it, then they stay hidden from us. We can't find them. We can't. They're there. They've been prepared for us. But to be able to find them is the key. And so giving your life, you know, seeking Jesus, loving Jesus as you do, you know, that whole thing is, you know, brings you into a place. What's going on here? Okay. Something's trying to mess up on me here. Yeah, so it's all about the secret place. In the secret place is the safest place, and yet it's the place where, you know, the enemy hates us the most. It's in that place. And so God wanting to show you that the things that have been prepared for you, but just because they've been prepared for us doesn't mean that we see them or hear them or they enter into our heart, you know, or get activated. So we thank you, Lord, for showing Nicole, God, more and more and more, like you're already doing, show her how to, as she walks by faith and lives by faith and pursues the kingdom of God, the true kingdom of God first, then you're going to add, that's what adds the secret things, that's what adds the unknown things, is when we seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, right? And we find out how to do that and we walk in that, then the things that get added to us are the things that, you know, we don't have to go after them. They come after us. They are given to us. They are opened up to us. They're the things that God brings. It's the provision realm of God. You know, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, all the things we need that are designed for us, that they belong to us already. They've already been prepared for us or revealed to us. So thank you, Lord, for revealing that to those who yield to the Spirit of the Lord. That's what that scripture says. To those who yield, it shall be revealed. Thank you, Lord, for showing Nicole more and more and more how to enter into that yielded, revealed place. Where it's revealed, it's the yielded, revealed place in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. All right, 610-969, who am I talking to you from, please?
Shalom. Shalom, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa from PA. And I
okay,
also want prayer for my friend's son. He OD'd today, but he's still alive, and his name is Jesse.
He OD'd today, but he's still alive. Okay. Jesse?
Yeah, and
all right, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you. You're welcome. God, we thank you for Jesse tonight. Lord, we thank you, merciful Jesus, for preserving him. God, preserve him for the reservations you have. Reserve for the reserve that you have for him, the reservations that you have for him, God. And Jesus, like we were talking to Nicole just now about the things that have been prepared that thank you. Many people don't make the things that have been prepared for them. And I thank you, Jesus, for that reservation. Preserving him for the things that have been reserved for him, God. Open him up to that in Jesus' name. And thank you, Father, for watching over him keeping him alive, God, and using this to really wake up those around him, his friends. And in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for doing that, to wake up his friends, to show his friends, you know, I better repent and get right with God because I never know when I might die. Thank you, Lord, for that. And open up that whole realm, God, of how easy it is to just die, especially if you're doing things that you shouldn't be doing. Thank you, Lord, for opening up that whole realm of the fear and reverential awe of God to Jesse and to those, his friends. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for opening them up. Open them up, open them up, open them up. Save them, God. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Preserve them. Keep them in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, let it be done right now by the power of God. And Lord, thank you for Elisa tonight, God, that she prays that very thing. That begins one of her prayers use this. What Satan meant for evil, God, turn it out for good. What Satan meant for evil, turn it out for good. What Satan meant for evil, turn it out for good in Jesse's life and her son's life and everybody's life that saw and witnessed this situation with Jesse today, God. Do not let any of his sorrows be wasted. Any of this devastation and this horrendous, scary, fearful thing be wasted, God. Let it all be used for your glory. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, amen. And let that be her prayer tonight, God. Amen, in Jesus' name. Repentance and salvation and glory and, you know, true connection to the kingdom of heaven. True repentance, true, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, let it be done. Let the spirit of repentance begin to flow through her, God, and bring her family, bring her son, and bring, bringing us to levels, God, where we're seeking after you and searching after you and knowing you at different levels. We don't ever stop because of things that we thought should have happened, didn't happen. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to cause those things to bring them to a more yielded place of God, saying to God, you know, if this comes to pass, then I'll serve you. No, it's just the opposite. Whether I get delivered or not, I'm going to serve God. Let that be pumped into their hearts, God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. All right, 754-240. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Randy. This is Donald and Tanya.
Hey, this doesn't sound like Donald. It sounds like Tanya. That's because it is, right?
Yes, Tanya and Donald.
Okay. Well, it sounded pretty spiritual. I thought that is definitely not Donald. Do not tell him I said that. Okay. All right. He knows I'm playing with him. All right. Thank you, guys. All right. We love you guys. Thank you, Jesus, for my friends, God, Donald, our God friends, Donald and Tony, Father. I thank you, Father, for that friend realm, that friendship realm that you're bringing them into, Father, where, you know, like Moses was a friend of God. You know, Abraham was a friend of God. Jesus was a friend to sinners. Lord, I thank you that you raise them up and bring them into that place of being a friend to sinners, being a friend to people who are rejected, being friends, an anointing, because it's not just trying to be buddies up with people. It's not a buddy thing. It's a friendship thing. And so I thank you, Jesus, for the friendship realm, the anointing in Tanya, the anointing in Donald, to be friends, to befriend couples, to befriend, you know, people who are rejected by, you know, church folk, maybe they're saved, the rejected realm, God, in Jesus' name, to be friends with them. Show Donald and Tanya that there's an anointing from the Holy Ghost that's already in them to befriend people and you know, like Jesus, the whole friendship realm is what caused the world to come to him so he could heal them. So he could teach them, so he could minister to them, so he could deliver them, so he could do them what he needs. So thank you, Lord. It's not just about being spiritual. It's about being friends. Jesus was a friend to sinners. God, show them, Don and Tanya, that friendship realm, that glory realm of being friends, of breaking down the walls of, you know, you got to step over all these things before I'm going to, you know, value you or think you're worth anything. No, the friendship realm is an automatic bridge that connects people to say, hey, come on over, man. Well, we have dinner with us. Come on over and just visit. Come on over and spend, 15 minutes. We'll have some coffee and, talk for a minute. Meet somewhere and have a 15-minute conversation. And just let it be a bridge of bringing people to God that normally wouldn't come to God, or people, Christians who have backslidden and messed up, to come back to God because you're befriending them. The friendship of Jesus, that anointing of friendship, like Jesus did. Amen. In Jesus' name, let it be done, Father. Pour out the Spirit of God. Let the train fill the temple, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you care about people, that you care about them. You want to help them, Jesus. You want to draw them in by your friendship, by tearing down those walls and lifting up the Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. Tearing down those, because the Lord keeps showing me this, Don and Tony, that it's about the friendship realm is what is probably the most powerful anointing that tears down the religious system that we build up, about how we treat people and what we do with people. Those, we love them dirty heathen, they're a bunch of dirty heathen. But we surely love them, Now they feel like that. They feel the dirty part when we talk about them, when they do about that. We love them. They don't feel the love part never gets to them because I love those dirty heathens, like some, some people say. But it breaks down those walls and builds a bridge. And I thank you, Lord, that Don and Tanya are bridge builders. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, 912-2446, I think. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Angela Joy, Georgia.
All right, Angela Joy. Angela's one of our preachers, our prophesiers here on PGN. Part of the kingdom of priests. Yeah, kingdom of priests. God's creation of a kingdom of priests. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for Angela Joy, God. And I thank you, Lord, for I just see something being cleared up like in your head, in your nose, or in your sinus or something. I don't know if that's a spiritual thing. It has probably nothing to do with your physical. I don't know. I don't know about that. But I see you being able to breathe in. Jesus, it's like I saw Jesus breathing into you, like he breathed the disciples. When he told the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit, he says he breathed into their nostrils. The breath of life. Well, I know you already got the Holy Spirit, so it's not about that, but it's like I saw your ability to breathe on people like Jesus breathed on the disciples, and they received the Holy Spirit just by him breathing on them, in the breath of God into their nostrils. And, so I saw like that. That's really crazy, but it's like, and like your nostrils, your nasal, where the air flows, being just totally cleaned out, where it's just totally clean and totally open, and the breath of God breathing through you on people, and you saying to people, receive the Holy Ghost, and they receive it and get right with God. Receive the Holy Ghost, and their eyes get open to something, they maybe some bitterness or resentment they have, and all of a sudden they realize, oh, I'm bitter and I'm angry and I'm, hey, no wonder I'm receive the Holy Ghost. They may already be saved, but maybe they've gotten out of line with the Holy Spirit and they're not able to breathe in and breathe out the Holy Spirit. And when you say, breathe on them, Jesus, they're going to, whatever it is that's stopping them up is going to get unstopped where they can start breathing again. Hallelujah. Amen. If you can't breathe, you're not going to live. Or if it's stopped up where you can barely breathe, your body's not getting the oxygen. You get weakened and if you're not getting oxygen, it makes you weak. It makes you, that's why people tell you to take deep breaths. And if you're having anxiety or stress, take a deep breath and breathe in and breathe out and take the whole breath realm. It's important. So God's going to show you the breath realm, the breath of God, the breath of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach of God, as they call it, the Ruach, which is the breath and the wind of God, Spirit of life, breathing it into you. So I saw the Lord doing like breathing that into you. And the purpose of bringing it into you is not that you don't already have the Holy Ghost, because you do, but it's about giving you the ability and opening up your nostrils, your sinus, where you can, your breathing apparatus, so you can breathe on other people and say, receive the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Just blow on them, breathe on them, Jesus. Breathe on us, oh God. Breathe, my God, breathe on us, Holy Spirit. Open us up. Take out all the stoppages, the unclog all the wells of salvation, the wells of glory, the wells of healing, the wells of miracles. Unclog it, Lord, with the breath of your nostrils in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Receive the Holy Ghost in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, girl. That was really cool. Really, really cool. And just making the blockages be moved out of the way, moving them out of the way. All right, 863-268. Can I talk to you, friend, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Nikki from Florida, and it's my birthday tonight.
Hey, oh, it's your birthday tonight? What are you, 35 or 34? I can't remember.
I'm 24.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. I mean, I knew you were full of it, but I thought you were full of the Holy Ghost.
I am. I'm both.
Okay. I know. Just because you're getting younger, exactly. I know what you mean. Well, happy birthday, girl.
Thank you.
Awesome. I felt the Holy Ghost when I just said that just now. Honest to God, I did. Like, amen. All right. Well,
yeah.
Let's pray for you. Good to hear from you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you. We appreciate you. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Nikki, God. And happy birthday to Nikki, Jesus. Sometimes you have to let me know. I should know this stuff. I think Facebook people keep up with birthdays pretty well, but I never get on Facebook. And if you don't tell me it's your birthday, I'll miss it. So don't ever feel like, you know, I want to know when your birthday is. Because you have to be born of water, you know, be birthed by your mama before you can be born again, right? So it's an important thing. You have to be born to the earth to be born of heaven. Well, that's an important time. Your birthday is an important thing. But please don't ever let me miss it. I love birthdays. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. To you. Happy birthday to you. It's like Lord, at the two rim, the double rim, the two rim. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for the twos. Let the twos becoming one. The two becoming one, like in the double realm and the realm of double, Lord, I ask you to begin to increase and double Nikki, God. Bless her, double her anointing. Father, double her pleasure, her pleasure realm of enjoying life, of enjoying things, God, and taking away all the things that try to mess with her pleasure realm. You know, the Bible says we can't please God without faith. So pleasure and faith are the same basic things. We can't even please God without faith. So the pleasure realm is about pleasing God. Really, it's about pleasing God. Hang on a second. The whole pleasure realm. So, you know, God showed me the pleasure realm all of a sudden because I've gone, double her pleasure, you know, double her pleasure, double her fun with spearmint gum or whatever it's called, that commercial. So, you know, doubling your pleasure, I'm thinking, what does that mean? You know, so doubling your pleasure has to do with, you know, what pleases you. When you please God, that pleases you more than anything, right? Even more than pleasing Charles or pleasing me or pleasing your friends or pleasing your, you know, whoever. We all want to please each other, not in a negative way, but in a very positive way, because we want to please each other by sometimes somebody bringing pleasure to somebody means, you know, helping correct their path, you know. Somebody bringing pleasure to somebody means, you know, agreeing together in worship and pray and praying for one another, you know, and getting pleasure from each other's prayers. And so there's many different things. But what, the main thing I see here is that God's saying to you, Nikki, that he wants you to know that you're a pleasure to him because you walk by faith. You live by faith. Are you perfect? I doubt it. I know I'm not, and I don't think you're much better than me. Yeah. So it's not about how perfect you do everything. You know, it's we're not under the law. The law says if you mess up in one thing, you got them all messed up. So what good does it do? If we live under the law, we mess up one thing, we get everything messed up. So we might as well say we're all the way messed up, we're under the law. But we're not under the law. We're under the pleasure realm of God. We walk by faith, and that pleases him. It's not about how many goats and you know, sheep we bring to the altar to sacrifice. It's about our faith. It's about our relationship with him. And the Lord wants you to know he's pleased with you just because you are his baby doll. You're his child, and his pleasure toward you is there because you want to please him. You do nothing but want to please the Lord. And that pleases him just because you want to, and you know, do your best to do it, you know. And so he loves it about you. And so he's wanting to really pour into you tonight, this thing of you're pleasing to me. Stop thinking of you are totally pleasing to me. And so, Lord, I thank you for that pleasure realm. I thank you for the pleasing realm that you're bringing her into, God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Tell birthday blessings to Nikki from Florida. I'm glad that she is doing better and feeling good. My birthday is Saturday, 7/17. We're both July babies. From Lisa Raquel in Pennsylvania. All right, there you go, Nikki. She's a 7/17. When is the 17th? I don't even know. This weekend? 17th is Saturday. So happy birthday to you. We won't be talking to you Saturday. So happy birthday to you, Lisa. Amen. Thank you for that. Happy birthday to Nikki. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I just thank you for that whole thing, that whole realm of pleasure, you know, and God washes away. When we get the revelation that we're a pleasure to God, sometimes we know we don't feel like we're a pleasure to God because once we mess up one little thing, we think it's like, oh, God, you know, oh, my God, oh, I'm out now. I've got to get back in again. You know, that just reveals that we don't feel like we're a pleasure to God. We mess up one thing, and we think that we're not a pleasure to God. You know, and that's not the way God does it. You know, he's covered us. He's given us his grace. And he knows that when we mess up, we're going to get it right with him. So he just takes pleasure in that. He doesn't look at what we messed up on. He looks at the fact that just like David had a heart after God, you know, and God found great pleasure in David, even though he messed up, you know, he messed up worse than you and I did, I think, you know, he messed up pretty bad. And yet you see with David that he had a heart after God, man. God was pleased with David, and look at all the stuff he messed up on. I mean, come on. I know we haven't been – I've never done some things David did. I mean, I'm not saying I'm better than him, but, you know, you hear what I'm saying? And he had a heart after God. God looks at the heart you have after him that pleases him. It's not about perfection and did you always do everything right and all of that. It has nothing to do with that at all. It has nothing to do with it. So God has really wanted to cleanse you with that, wash you with that, and love you with that. So I thank you, Jesus, for that, for Nikki tonight, God. And okay. Okay. All right, we need to pray for Mike and Veronica. Veronica's son, or they said their son, their son Alex and Gabriel. Some things happened today. The emergency prayer for them. So we thank you, Jesus, for Alex and Gabriel. God, we thank you for just this whole realm of working all things out together for good, God. That whatever's going on and what's not going on and what's happening, what's not happening. You know, we serve a God who protects us in spite of ourselves, who protects us in spite of us. Sometimes God protects our children because of us. You know, when you're walking in obedience with God, just like David, because David walked in obedience with God, you know, God protecting his children, you know, even his children that really messed up. In Veronica, even when David's children messed up, he didn't judge them because of the obedience of David. So we thank you, Lord, for letting them tap into that, letting them you know, let their faith, you know, step into that realm of, you know, God protecting our children because, you know, sometimes, you know, that's what parents are for. Parents are a protector over children until they kind of get things lined up. Sometimes people growing up, they just mess up. They get stuff messed up. They just mess up stuff. So parents are there to kind of like protect and keep and watch over while they're making those mistakes and failing and things happen to them. God, we thank you, Lord, for that protection, the Davidic covenant kind of protection on them in Jesus' name. So open their minds up to that, God. they be protected and kept, that Gabriel and Alex would be protected and kept, God, from that you would turn, that you would make this thing, turn this thing out for good, which Satan means for evil, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus over that whole situation, the covenant of God over that whole situation, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. All right. All right, 803-991, who am I talking to?
My name is Angela, South Carolina.
Oh, hi, Angela. All right, Angela, good to have you. All right. Angela, thank you, Lord, for Angela. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for her life. God, we thank you for the abundance realm. The goddess is really, you know, going to use you to show how God can take someone, just, you know, quote, regular person that people think, and but they don't really know the real Angela. And so I thank you, Lord, that you're using Angela to produce wealth in her, wealth of wisdom, wealth of knowledge, to wealth of a reputation of, like, you know, like a respectable reputation, and even blessings financially, and that you're going to use her life as a testimony, Father, of how you take people who just simply serve you and love you and walk in you and live in you, and you take them and you use them as a trophy to show other people, hey, man, you know, just serve Jesus. You know, you don't have to do everything perfectly right all your life, but if you made lots of mistakes, who cares? Get it right with God. If you failed, so what? Get it right with God. God will make you a success. He'll bless you. God wants every person to be a success. Success is on different levels with different people, so not everybody success is on the same level, but God wants to use you, Angela, as a testimony of his virtue and of his success. You know, that's what talk about with, you know, the word success was, that I first remember was used with Joshua, when God told Joshua to meditate on the word day and night, you know, and because of that, he would, you know, be successful, you know, in doing what God says. Because the point is of success, Angela, as you know, it's doing what God says. So that's why God's going to use you as an example of that, because you meditate on that. You even in your sleep, your desires are, you know, something in you is meditating on the things of God and dwelling on them. Even when you're sleeping, it's going on day and night, day and night. How do you meditate on something day and night? You have to stay up day and night. You wouldn't have getting sleep. Well, I think Joshua got plenty of sleep, but even in his sleep, because he had a heart for God, he was meditating on, you know, like, I preached in my sleep, I prophesied in my sleep. I've said some amazing things in my sleep that when my wife told me what I said, I went, I said that? I mean, honest to God, I was like going, what? It was a high level of information, and I was shocked and never even knew I said it. Had I not woke them up and she heard me, I would have never known I said it and gave it to me in details. So it was a pretty amazing. So, yeah, God's going to use you for that. So let it happen in Jesus' name. All right, 903-808, who am I talking to her from, please?
Yes, it's Jeannie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right, Jeannie. All right, thank you, Jesus, for Jeannie. Thank God God's giving you a heart as big as Texas. You know, girl, I mean, I remember there's something about Dallas, there's something about Texas, there's something about Texas. God has you, you're a Texas girl, you're a that's the biggest state, and I think the biggest state in the country, right? I think it is. Yeah. And so there's just something about, you know, Dallas and Texas and you and your heart and the heart God's giving you. And because you have a big heart, you know, God's going to bless you big. I mean, you know, some fruit of that already, you know, a little bit, some things that have happened. It just in the last year and some things God has done. And so, you know, that he's trying to show you more and more and more that your heart is as big as Texas, man. It's the biggest Texas, you have the biggest heart in the United States, so to speak. You know, like Dallas, Texas is the biggest state, and there's something good about that, and God's going to open you up to that. That because you have a big heart, he's going to do a lot of big things through you and a lot of different things. He's going to do things that are just not normal Christian things. You know, he's not going to do the normal Christian thing for you. He's going to do new things. He's going to do things that have never been known before, never been done before. You know, you're going to see things and know things. You know, part of it is because of what we're stepping into since Joe Biden became president. We stepped into a whole other realm, so we're going to see things because of that. But not everybody's going to see them. God has chosen you to see the things that are going to be big. You're going to think bigger. You're going to be bigger. Your heart's bigger. God's going to show you the heart he's given you and not be coming short of the glory of the big heart God's given you, the big faith he's given you, the big realm he's given. And that's why fear and intimidation has tried to swallow you up all your life. You know why? Because God, the devil knows God's given you a big heart, girl. He's given you big faith. And, you know, a little seed faith turns into a big, so same thing. So faith is faith. The faith of God is amazing. So God's given you his faith. And that faith is big as Texas, so to speak, you know. And so God's going to really open you up to that, show you that, so that you can start, you know, walking in it. You already walk big before God, but I'm talking about walking big. I'm talking about walking, you know, like, you know, in Texas, that movie that show they used to have on Dallas. What do they call it? Dallas with Irving, with what's his name? The oil well guy that, what's his name? Can't think of his name right now. But he was not a great guy, but the family were a bunch of rich oil well people. And Bobby, J.R. Irving. Thank you, Nicole. I think Nicole sent that to me. Is that her? His name is J.R. Ewing. Yeah, his name is J.R. Ewing. Yes, that's exactly it. Okay, so I'm getting carried away tonight. But like J.R. Ewing and Bobby Ewing and the whole thing. Yeah, I love that show. Yeah, somebody said, love that show. That is funny. And so where this word came from, I don't know. Then I also want to talk about J.R. Ewing and Bobby Ewing and the whole family thing. And the whole thing is like they had some crooked people. They had some bad people in there. But they were old people, and they were rich, and they were, you know, they were biggest Texas, man. So I don't know why that's come up exactly. But, you know. And there were some good people in there, too. It was just a mix, a big mix of all kinds of people. And oh, God. Hallelujah. I love it. I love the prophetic realm. You never know where you're going to go in the prophetic realm, that's for sure. You never know where you're going to go in the prophetic realm. We just go and we just fly and then we fly into something and we're just like, okay, what are we doing here? We don't know, but we're going right through it. So there you go, J.R. Ewing, Bobby Ewing. And Bobby Ewing was the good guy, right? Yeah, he was the honest one. I can't remember all the details, but, you know, then he had J.R. J.R. was like the big old guy that was, you know, he was always trying to wheel and deal everybody. So it's like, you know, all of a sudden I saw, like, the family and the, you know, anyway, so there you go. Yeah, Bobby was the good brother. Right, thank you, Nicole, for that. I'm glad we have people that watched the things. Yeah, that was a good one. All right, Jeannie, I don't know, but you didn't expect that tonight. Bigger than Dallas. That is funny. I love this stuff, man. Bobby Ewing, his wife Pamela. I think I'm starting to remember all these names. Pamela, Pam. Yeah, what's up with all that? I don't know.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, very interesting. All right. I bet you don't get that in Texas churches. J.R. Ewing, Bobby Ewing, kind of word. I'm going to get those on PGN. That is hilarious. I love it. I love it because you never know what you're going to get. I never know what I'm going to say. I never know where I'm going. The Lord just kind of leads me. And like blindly sort of into that stuff, and all of a sudden I'm into it. It's too late to back out now. I might as well just enjoy it, right? Yeah, there you go. Okay, so whatever. All right, 831-596.
Hi, Hi, it's Noelle in California.
Hey, Noelle, how are you doing over there in California? How are the earthquakes doing?
Well, it's been quiet. It's been quiet.
Oh, good.
And yeah, that was just a very active day when I posted that.
Bless your heart. I can't even imagine. Noelle was telling me about all the activity going on in the earthquake realm. Wow. I mean, for California people, that's pretty scary, right, when they start talking about this stuff.
Well, you know, there's always like low measurement activity kind of going on all the time because of the big faults, and you never feel them, and nobody flinches at it. But these were real. You know, there was a couple of big ones, and then there were tons and tons and tons of aftershocks that were pretty decent size, and then there were boulders and that thrown down to the roads and that. And this is a few hours from where I live, you know. But it was just really out of the ordinary, you know, so it's a little nerve-wracking. I was in the last big one that they had, and it was outrageous and frightening.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
And, yeah, we don't get a warning. You know, like when you have I'm not saying that it's worse than a hurricane or a tornado, but, you know, there's no weather, you know, sort of prepare, go in the basement or whatever, you know, for storms. You know, you're doing whatever you're doing, and then all of a sudden, you know, the house starts rocking. Right? Yeah. You run out of your house for sure.
Yeah. All right. Wow. Okay, I thought I'd check in on that. We don't do a lot of talking on Wednesdays, but that was a question I wanted answered. So since I'm in control of the switchboard, I can ask whatever I want. All right.
Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Noelle. Okay, thank you, Noah. All right, appreciate that. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the shaking. We thank you for the rattling and rolling that's going on. Thank you, God, that you know, you're going to really show Noelle that she's going to be in the right place at the right time. All of a sudden, you get up one day and you decide to, you know, go somewhere, and it just happens to be the only, you know, place in California that's protected or safe or whatever, and God really using these kind of things to get your spirit man to soar with the Lord, to rise up with Him, and realize that and how you're kept and how God is watching over you and how He's gonna protect you and keep you and whatever's going on, and He knows it. But here you go, this will be good. You know, God knows what's going on, right? I just thought about this. There's no weather report that says, you know, hey, possible earthquake coming your way, 6.5 to 8.9, whatever. It could be coming your way. It may miss you. We don't know exactly, but it is coming that direction. So watch. Well, you don't have that. And like you said, in the weather report, there's not a weather report for it. But in heaven there is, you know. I mean, I know one night I was on the show, you know, we've talked about this. That I was talking to Andrea from Nebraska, and all of a sudden I started having this song rise up about San Jose, you know, and a song about San Jose. And I said, and I said, oh, wow, there must be something going to happen, like an earthquake in San Jose, because San Jose is in California. And, you know, I was talking to Andrea, and kind of find out San Jose is right on the San Andrea fault line, you know, which was kind of unusual because that's who I was talking to on the show when I got, you know, the song, I am on my way to San Jose, you know, that kind of thing. And that's the song that rose up in me when I was talking to her. And I said, you know, the earthquake thing. And then all of a sudden I did research on it, and San Jose is right on the San Andreas fault line. That was just too freaky for me. And so, and then now a few weeks later, you know, you're texting me, Noel, telling me hey, there's earthquakes rattling around. I go, wow. And so, you know, anyway, so this whole thing, God using all this stuff to bring you to a new awareness that no matter what goes on, I have the weather report down for earthquakes. I know exactly what's going on with them. I know what's happening. I know what's going on. And therefore, I'm going to warn you. I'm going to show you, even if you don't get a mental, physical picture or warning from a person or, you know, a vision of God, you're going to be in the right place at the right time. Because I know, nobody else knows, but the Lord says, I know, and I'm going to show it to you, and I'm going to show you, and you're going to know. You're going to be ready. You're going to be prepared. You're going to be in the right place at the right time. So in Jesus' name, open that up for her, God, and let that bring her to a place, a new place of trust. A new place. It's one thing to say I trust God. It's a whole other thing to live in California when there's earthquakes going on. That's when you start going, uh-oh, you know, yeah. So we can all say we have faith living in Texas, but when you live in California and start shaking and rattling and rolling, it's a whole different level, brother. Yeah. So I'm not going to, yeah, anyway. So, but, you know, God knows that we do have a Holy Ghost weather man called the Holy Spirit that knows what's shaking, rattling, and rolling, what's happening down the line. And, you know, kind of that part of that, in a sense, you could say, you know, tonight I was talking to Andrea, and all of a sudden the song came up on my way to San Jose, started talking about an earthquake in San Jose, and seeing that the fault line was there, San Andreas, that whole thing was like God's weatherman telling us, you know, just things getting ready to rock and roll. How much they are, we don't know, but you know, that within itself, the fact that you're connected to that was, I've had God show me earthquakes in places that didn't have earthquakes and put it in the newspaper a year and a half before it happened. And never had a earthquake on the surface. They always happen underneath, but never where everybody knew it, right? A 4.7 earthquake hit that town almost exactly a year and a half later. And people thought I was crazy. They thought I was nuts. I actually put it in the Thrifty Nickel, which is the biggest advertisement paper in that town. People thought I'd lost my mind. But you know what? God was trying to tell people something. 5 o'clock in the morning, I remember the exact date, like July or something, the earth shook, man. 4.7 earthquake shook the whole town, and they had testimony. It freaked people out. I mean, people were calling because, I mean, it literally shook. Two-story, three-story, five-story building were shaking, just like I saw when I got caught up in the city in the spirit. I saw that. I saw it happen. And so, anyway, I don't know. I get excited because none of that stuff, you know, messes with me too much. Although that dream about the earthquake did shake me up pretty bad. I mean, I saw people running in fear and panic because they didn't know which way to run. So the ground starts shaking, you don't know which way to run. You got a big 10-story building, 15-story building over your head, which is what I saw. I was caught up over it in a chariot and looked down and saw, you know, people running in panic, you know, because they didn't know where to run. They were freaking out. It was scary. It wasn't exactly, you know, peaches and cream, man. That was scary. Saw it a year and a half later happen after I put it in the newspaper. I told that story before, but I'm going to tell it again. But it's an amazing story, so remind me, and I'll tell you. Those of you who haven't heard that story, I'll tell it again. It is a mind-boggling, you know, amazing story about what God did and a lot more. But, okay, Noel, in Jesus' name, be blessed. All right, 720-819. Can I talk to you very quickly, please?
Jeff and Yuki
from Bazooki. Jeff and Yuke from Bazook. Thank you, Jesus, from Bazook. Bazooki? What's Bazooki? I don't know. sound like an Italian spaghetti or something. I don't know what that is. But thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and Yuke. God, I thank you, Father, for God, you know, just muting. I see like a muting. The mute factor, M-U-T-E factor, whatever that is, mute factor. Being able to mute, you know, shut the mouth of the enemy, you know, close the mouth of the enemy, gag the enemy, you know, like I've heard people pray the prayer. I don't know if it's in the Bible or not, but about gag the enemy. Let me see if that's in the scripture. Okay, Noel was just telling me they had, I'm prophesying here too. Jeff and Yuki, but okay, Noel, you just sent me a text. They got some aftershocks last week off the biggest one in San Jose area.
What do you mean by that? In San Jose area, the off the biggest one. I'm not sure what you're saying by that. You might make that clear for me if you don't mind. Okay, big one was Lake Tahoe. How far Lake Tahoe is? I think I sent you a map a couple of hours away. Okay, thank you. There you go. So the big one is in Lake Tahoe, which is a couple hours away from San Jose. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I think you and I knew that, and I've forgotten about that, but now we can make Blog Talk or PGN people aware of that. So keep your eye on that, y'all. Pray for them in Jesus' name. God is good. God is really good. Because we got one friend. We got a few friends in California, actually. And you think God's not going to warn you about stuff? I think he will. Because I have a mantle toward for earthquakes, you know, and things like that. One of the mantles God's given to me back then. But anyway, okay, I don't want to get caught up into that. I was ministering to Jeff and Keith. It's hard enough to go there, man. Okay, Jeff and Nuke, and what was I looking at? I was looking at what? The mute factor. I was talking about the mute factor. Gag. Oh, yeah, gag. The enemy. That's what I was going to look up, is gag the enemy. Okay, I'm trying to look for a scripture about that. Gag the enemy living. Gag. I don't know. There's a scripture somewhere that talks about the bind. The bind means, I think, to gag the enemy, like stuff something in their mouth or something. I can't remember what it is. Well, we just got back from L.A. today after a week. Who is this? Oh, that's Mike and Veronica. Okay, well, we just got back from L.A. today after a week in California. Don't listen to me, earthquake. Really, just Jeff, just left yesterday. Okay. Okay, yeah. I don't know, man. Interesting. They were just in L.A. yesterday. In L.A. today, wow. Cool, interesting. There's stuff going on. God knows exactly where we are. Exactly, Noel says, yes. Okay, so I was going to look at that gag thing for Jeff and Yuki, but this whole thing about rumors, this whole thing about wrong information, you know, fake news is a good way. That God's showing you guys how to gag that. I'll try to look at the scripture later, but there's a scripture somewhere that I've heard people pray and use that I don't think it said the word gag the enemy, like stop him from speaking, muting him, but to like some kind of Greek word, Hebrew word meant to gag. If somebody knows what that is, send it to me if you would, please. But to gag the enemy, to stop him from, you know, just like this is for an example, in the market realm. Like, I remember one of the words I got about some company, I can't remember the name of the company, but we were using a stock market friend of mine, and he had the company, of course. He didn't own the company, but he was one of the people that worked there. And so we set up some accounts for some people, and they put money in that account. And then when I would give words, then he would put them in that, involve them in that, those words. So we've done the word thing before with accounts, but never have we done it the way we're doing it now, where, you know, I would call in and tell this person, you know, get into this particular company today and get everybody, all my friends in it with their money and invest in it. So they did that. He would do that and did this, as the Lord said, through me. And then, so what happened here's the gag thing. So sometimes what moves the market is information. You know that. I'm sure you know that, Jeff. What moves the market is information. So let's say that
when this happened, particularly in this one situation. So I called him up and I said, get in this company today, and I'll tell you when it does this particular thing, going to get out. And so what made that thing do what it did to get out was some information came out, news. I can't remember if it was fake news or bad news, but it was news. So we got those people in the stock. I called the guy, said, get them in there now, got them in there, started making money for, I don't remember how long it was, just a few days. And then when it got to a certain point, it changed because the Lord told me before the bad news came out that the news was about to change. I can't remember exactly what he told me. And to be honest, I can't remember exactly what made the change happen. But I called the guy and I said, get out now. And so the very next day, news came out, and the news made that thing lose everything it had gained. Well, we didn't lose because I had a word from the Lord, and this is documented. I mean, this what I'm telling you is documented fact. So you know, even some of my friends who have been on, one of them who's been on PGN before, will tell you that because they were in on it. They were in on it. And they're not on PGN right now, but they've been on PGN before. But, they were in on this. They were in on the market thing. They had invested their own money. I didn't invest money for them. They invested their own money. I would have never thought about that. But what turned that around was information. So in this realm of information, we can have information going out to make the stock market even go down. You know, you get a bad news out, people think they hear the bad news about today the whole world is falling apart. The next day, when that news comes out, the next day the market goes, man, people start selling out if they believe that news. So God's going to show you guys how to, and not just in the market realm, of course, but in general speaking, the bad information, like say the information came that the whole world's falling apart, was wrong. It was fake news. Well, that's how the world is going to govern the market, is going to cause the market to go up and down, is by fake news. They put out fake news, and they put it out everywhere. Believe me, these people will run the market and get the market to people start either buying or selling because of the news. I don't know if you're familiar with that or not. I'm sure you are. But that's a higher level of you know, like if I had the authority, God showed me, said, gag the enemy because he's going to lie tomorrow. You just invested all of PGN in the market going up or market going whatever. And there's a lying story about to come out. And I want you to gag the enemy from getting that story out, confuse them, speak confusion on them so they can't get that lie out to cause all the blessings that's coming to PGN people all of a sudden because the market just starts soaring high. And we're making thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars for PGN people. And then so the enemy knows that, so he started to put out a lie in the news, you know, in the market realm to stop that from happening. And so I see it in the spirit, let's say, as an example, and I gag it. I command it I gag you, devil. You're not going to get that news out because that's supposed to keep going up. So if I knew it wasn't going to – if the news was going to get out, I'd get us out of that, right? But if the Lord says, gag him, Randy, gag the enemy. He's going to lie. He's going to put out some bad news. It's going to cause you to instead of the market keep going up, it's going to make it go down. And, you know, so I'm giving you the authority to stop put the gag order on it, to stop it. And so you stop it in the spirit, and you didn't get out of the market thing going up, and it keeps going up, making more money for the kingdom of God, the treasure, you know, in the natural realm. And so you see what I'm saying? The gag order, God using, showing you how to, he gives authority to do the gag order and to stop things from causing things to get messed up, you know, even though the enemy's a liar. So what does he use? He uses news. He used news in the church realm. He used news in the business realm, gossip, lies, what, to destroy people. For a reason, because he knows God wants to bless them, and so he tries to spread rumors about him like they did with Jesus. They tried to spread rumors about Jesus to destroy him. And until the time appointed their father, they couldn't do it. Why? Because God gagged them. God confused them. He didn't let them take Jesus down. And they were the big boys that were in authority that didn't like him. all the big people, all the religious people, all the important people, so to speak, were the ones doing all this stuff. And yet God, you know, gagged them and stopped them from taking Jesus down until it was time for him to die. And so there's something about the gag realm and the gag order that God wants to show you how to use that to, you know, to stop things that the destruction of people, the destruction of people's assassination of their character, to gag that in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Lord, for showing Jeff and you how to agree together. That can happen on a small level, and it can happen on a big level. It can happen on, you know, the level of, personal things with friends. It can happen with you personally. It can happen with rumors getting out wrong, you know, false lies about your favorite, you know, people or whatever, your favorite political people, whatever it is. It's like with Trump. I mean, they put out every lie. So God's given the authority to gag those lies when he gives that authority. When it came time for Jesus to die, the gag order didn't work anymore because God wasn't gagging them. God wasn't stopping them. He allowed them to bring Jesus down when it came time for him to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. At that moment, that gag order stopped, and they were able to come get him. You know, because Judas was part of the gag order being reversed. You know, Judas opened his mouth. You know, he was no longer bound. He was no longer, and they said, where is he? Because nobody knew where Jesus prayed. But Judas, well, what did God do? He sent Judas to ungag it or open the mouth of the enemy and tell him where Jesus was, and they went and got it. Only because it was time. So we have to realize that. Sometimes people over there praying and binding up, and, you know, oh, God, please don't let Joseph brothers, they're so jealous. You know, I could just hear people praying, oh, seeing all that going on. Oh, God, don't let Joseph's brothers take him down, put him down in that pit and sell him out. That I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. I bind the devil. Don't let that happen, God. Well, God's going like, shut up. You know, it may not look like right to you, but I've got something bigger in store. So I'm not going to gag them. I'm going to let them I'm going to let the enemy do what he thinks he wants to do to destroy Joseph. I'm going to use it for good. So you got to let it work. You got to let it happen. So God's got to teach us when to gag and when not to gag, when to stop the mouth and when to not stop it. Sometimes God wants a Joseph to be gagged, Joseph to be stopped, Joseph to be, you know, taken to Egypt, because that was God's will, God's plan. And God used the enemy in that sense to do it. So for all we were praying, in the name of Jesus, I bind up Joseph's brothers from that hatred and that jealousy. I curse that authority in the name of Jesus. I gag them. Nah, God says, nah, I'm not going to go for that gagging. Sorry. I'm going to get Joseph out of here, man. I'm going to get him into Egypt where he can save the world. Yeah, so we have to understand that realm and know that if God doesn't give the gag order, then we don't have authority to gag because God's going to use it for something glorious. Amen? So what I'm saying is that God's saying, you know, just because something looks like it's going evil, even with you, even with friends, even with people around you, even though it may look like it's going bad, wrong, God may be using something to bring that person down temporarily to get them where he wants them. Kind of like what he did to Joseph. He allowed Joseph to be rejected. Like Jesus, he allowed Jesus to finally be rejected, turned over, because that was God doing something. With Joseph, the same thing. You can talk about a lot of other people, but those two are the ones most people know about. So you can't just stop something because it looks bad and looks wrong. Sometimes what looks bad, what looks wrong, what looks evil, what looks like unfair, like with all the Trump stuff, totally looked unfair. But when you got a sovereign moment going on, like with Joseph, when sovereign moments come in, Jeff and you got to realize that's a whole different thing, man. Sovereignty is a whole different realm. And you can't figure that stuff out. Oh, that's not fair. That's not right. They're doing this. They're not. Hey, sometimes God allows the enemy to do things to bring people where he wants them. So, I hope that makes sense. All right, 312-841. 312-841, can I talk to where you're from, please? 312-841.
I don't know who that is.
Okay, Mark. Oh, through Marge. Thank you. Marja. All right, Marja. Thank you, Marja. Thank you. Thank you, Margie. All right. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for Margie, Father. I thank you, Lord, for one thing that God wants to open you up to, Margie, is like what he did with Isaac in the land when they were famine. Sometimes God chooses to use somebody in the family or just whatever, a nobody that, we're always somebody's with God, but we're nobody's with our own stuff and our own self, and most people don't see what God's doing in our life. But God wants to use you to show that even though when there's famine going on, or when there's trouble, when there's not necessarily literal famine, but when there's trouble going on with other people, that God always has somebody that he's going to bless that's going to rise above the fray of things, going to rise above the situation. Like the widow, Jesus talked about the widow of Zarephath, and he talks about them. He says, well, Elijah only went to one widow, and that was the widow of Zarephath, and they got mad at him, went to kill him because of that. But sometimes God chooses, because he was saying that they were not being the ones chosen to go to, right? So the widow of Zarephath was kind of like Margie. It's like God chooses someone. The prophet went to one person, and that was Margie, or that was the widow of Zarephath. And he asked of her, things that God was always wanting to be put. God is always wanting to be put first. So when God wants to use you, Margie, as a way of showing people how that when you put God first, that you're going to make it through a famine when nobody's going to make it, because God's going to increase and multiply you in ways that doesn't even make sense. Like when he said, give me the first bread, she was going to bake a cake for her and her son, and she was going to die. That's how bad the famine was. It was horrible. People were dying everywhere. So the prophet got sent to one person. God said, go to the widow in Zarephath. So he said, okay, whatever. I don't know who this lady is, but I'm going. He goes, and then he meets her, and the first thing he says out of his mouth is, put God first, basically. And so when she did that, then God used her as an example of, no death, no dying, but lived in her family, and she prospered and was blessed and made it through that. Literally, she was going to die that day. She's going to eat her last bit of meal, but God shows her. And God wants to show you, Marja, that he's chosen you to use you like that, because you're going to put him first in whatever he asks you to do. And because of that, he's going to use you as an example of how he's going to preserve you and keep you when everybody else's stuff is falling apart. He's going to show you, hey, look, this is what happens when somebody chooses me. They don't have to know everything and be everything. They just have to know me, saith the Lord. They just have to know me and obey me and do what and put me first. And those who put him first, Margaret, never lose, never fail. We may have temporary threats. Like she came to the place of dying, right? I mean, she came close to dying. She came this close to looking like she wasn't chosen. She came really close to looking like she wasn't. She was just like everybody else. I'm going to eat my last meal. We're going to die today. That's what it was looking like. She didn't even know, but God had chosen her. So God's going to reveal that to you, and it's going to be awesome. And then you're going to realize that. All right, 478-233. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Janice from Georgia.
Janice from Georgia? Okay, Janice. All right, Janice, it's just like you're a heartbeat away. Like you're a heartbeat away. Like I keep hearing the word heartbeat away. like some people, in a sense of a heartbeat away, your heartbeat away from your breakthrough, your heartbeat away from, whatever the thing is. And hang on a second. Okay. Okay, hang on a second. All right. Okay. What is it? 919. Okay. All right. 478. Okay. Yes. Okay. 478. Thank you, Jesus. Hang on a second. Yeah.
Hang on a minute. All right. 478. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, 478. Thank you, Lord, for all of the places that God's given you authority. Sometimes we think we have authority over things because we read the Bible and we say we have authority over all things. But there is that place where, you know, we have to, just like the Bible says, you know, we've won every victory in Christ too. But are you winning all your victories? Yeah, probably not. No, I'm not. Not winning all of them. I'm winning more than I've ever won before. I'm thankful for that. But just like the Bible says, all things have been are conquered in Christ Jesus, but are they really literally conquered? So it's like, although the Bible says we have all authority in Christ Jesus, but do we really? Do we? I mean, we do, but are we activated in that? Have we been approval for high levels of authority is done through taking tests. You get approved for high level authority, like you get approved to graduate and move from the 11th grade to the 12th grade, you know, to a senior, from a junior to a senior in high school because you passed the test. You went through, you know, but you went through the test. And because you passed the test, you graduated to that realm of authority, that place of, you know. So the same thing in the spirit realm. We have authority. We have all authority in Christ Jesus, but we have to learn how to use the little bit of authority we have where we are. Before God can graduate us into that higher level where we actually literally are stepping into that territory where we literally have that authority now. And there's a lot of things that we have prepared for us, but because they're prepared for us doesn't mean that we're walking in them yet. We have to go from trials and tests and situations and come out, you know, pass the test and learn and grow and learn and grow and learn and grow. And when you do that, so God's going to show you, 478, how to you know, the areas that you have authority in, what you graduated, because if you try to deal in authority realms that you don't have authority in, you know, it's gonna mess you up, and you're gonna find yourself with more trouble than you can shake a stick at, because, you know, you're trying to deal in things that you're not graduated to that. Will you be there sometime? Yeah, if you graduate, right? So God's trying to show you that this whole realm of graduation is important to the fact that, you know, the sobering faith, the Bible says to walk sober in our faith. In other words, we may think we're 100-fold, but we're really at 20-fold, you know, and so we have to wake up to realize that where we are, we're headed 100-fold, but we're walking in 20-fold realm of authority. So God's going to show you realm of authority, because when we walk out of that, in that way where we don't belong, going places we don't belong, we're sitting there binding higher levels of principalities, than we have authority to, then it's going to cause us problems. But God's really going to show you how to walk in the realm you're in and live in the realm you're in and not go kind of dive off into things that you don't have authority over, because you try to take authority over that. It's like going to the President of the United States and telling him, I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and or try to get kind of break into his office and give him some information that you think you have. You know, you haven't been given that authority, you know, and so until God gives it. So God's really showing you how to walk in that so that you can graduate. Graduating to the next level of authority is realizing the area of authority that you're in, working in that area, dwelling in that area, walking in sober-minded faith where we actually really are, knowing that we're going to go there, but we're not there yet. And then that's what part of graduation is realizing the area. I'm in 30-fold. I'm not in 60-fold. I'm in 30-fold realm. So I've learned to dwell in 30-fold until I graduate to 60-fold. And once I'm there, then I'm there. But so God's showing you how to walk in faith to where you can margin, where you can, you know, God wants to show you how to deliver the goods. He wants to show you how to walk in that place to where, you know, you're a sober-minded person who walks in the reality of God,
because that's what makes you powerful, right? And then when you graduate, you know, like when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of Satan, he was being tempted of Satan because he had to graduate before he could go in and take authority and have dominion over Israel and Jerusalem, right? So he three levels of temptation. He overcame them. That gave him authority to go into Jerusalem and Israel to do his work there. Had he not passed that test, he would have not had authority from the Father to go there. It was part of the process. So God's going to show you the process and the beauty of all that, and it's really going to show you some really cool things with God. And, yeah, so this is, a situation that God's showing you how to dwell in so that you can graduate, so that you can move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Right, because a lot of people don't ever pass that test, and they go in circles. You're going to pass it. You are passing it, and you're going to walk in sober-minded faith, and God's going to go, you know, because you live in reality, you know, just like Peter. Peter had to get approval from Jesus to walk in the water. When he did, he even still even failed when he did. So we learn how to keep our eyes on the Lord, and when we do, we can walk on that in that realm of authority that is unusual, for sure. Okay, 919-819-801. Cheryl?
Cheryl, North Carolina.
Hi, Cheryl. Okay. Yes, all right, Cheryl. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for Cheryl. Thank you, Lord, for the kindness, Lord, and the generosity of your spirit in her and toward her, Father. I thank you that she's learning how to plant and bless and be, you know, active in that generosity of the Father. Our generosity is one thing, but our generosity, as you know, Cheryl, is very, very limited. God's wanting to bring you into the unlimited realm, which is, you know, sometimes we have to bless those who curse us. That's the generosity realm of God, you know, to do good to those who despitefully use. It's easy. We don't have to walk in God's generosity to be able to love those who love us. That, we can do that in ourselves. Well, when it comes to blessing those who curse us and doing good to those who despitefully use us, they'll never to do good, literally to do good to them. Man, that takes the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Spirit to do that. I can't do that on my own. I've tried. It doesn't work. So I thank you, Jesus, for showing my sister, God, that as we strive and enter and work and labor to enter into that rest of, you know, that place to where we can do good to those who despitefully use us and say all manner of evil against us. And being able to step out and start, even though you may not feel like you can do it, say, dear God, help me, Jesus. And you just start doing it. You just do it. Resist your feelings. Resist that limited realm. That limited realm won't let you do that. Won't let you bless those who curse you. Won't let you do good to those who despitefully use you. But the unlimited realm will. And we just thank you, Jesus. And it's going to open you up to the unlimited realm. In Jesus' name. So, Lord, I thank you for Cheryl entering into that unlimited realm in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Of being able to do what, you know, it's easy to be good to those who are good to you. It's in the supernatural realm that we are good to those who are evil to us. Amen. So, God's, and that's what brings us into that unlimited realm of God's love and of his compassion and his power and forgiveness and mercy in Jesus' name. All right, 240-482. Can I talk to you real quick, please? 240-482. 240, are you there? Okay. All right. Okay. All right. I know you have a son named Seth that I'm reading. All right, Valerie. Thank you, Jesus, for Valerie. But we thank you, Lord, for Valerie, God. We thank you for giving her the power to, the understanding and the wisdom. The power comes through knowledge, revelation from heaven. So God giving you revelation from heaven, because revelation is what empowers you to do things that you don't, that you normally cannot do. We don't know how to pray as we ought. The Holy Spirit does. We don't know how we don't have the power to deal with something until God reveals it to us, like Jesus revealed to Peter, or God the Father revealed to Peter that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus said, no man has showed you that flesh and blood of my Father which is in heaven. That's what empowered him to connect to Jesus in ways a lot of people didn't. So as God opens you up to the spirit of revelation, to the revealing of Christ, in Jesus' name, I thank you for that prayer that Paul the Apostle prayed. I prayed over my sister tonight, God, in Jesus' name, that she will be blessed with the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And so open her up to that, God. Open Valerie up to that realm. Father, just like Paul the Apostle prayed for the whole church, because he knew that if they don't get that, they're not going to get much. And I thank you, Lord, they're just going to struggle around and flop around like I used to do until I started walking in that. And I thank you, Jesus, for helping Valerie to step into that realm of the unseen, of the unknown. Open up her eyes, God. Show her that there's more for her than there is against her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus, as a prophet, as like Elisha opened up the eyes of the servant and said, God, open up her eyes. Let her see that there's more for her than there is against her. In Jesus' name, that she won't be afraid to step out and do what God says, even though it doesn't make sense and doesn't seem to work out in your head. The mathematics don't work out in your head. But God says, you got to trust me when the math doesn't match up. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for that realm with her, God. In Jesus' name, open her up to that and make her a success, Father. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, 720-682.
Hey, it's Mike and Veronica. How are you?
All right. Hey, man. Doing pretty good. How are you?
Yeah,
had a little
right,
thing
man.
Going
we
on
got a little
with some kids, huh?
Yeah, we just got back from Santa Monica yesterday and up in L.A., and we drove through Las Vegas last time we'll ever go there, but we had a really good time evangelizing over there. The atmosphere seemed really open, and me and Veronica, I don't know, we really loved it. What, an earthquake
really?
Happened yesterday? Yeah, dude, Santa Monica was amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, right. I don't really know what day it was. It was last week, though, I think. Hang on a second, I'm trying to find out.
Well, it was last week. Yeah, we don't even listen to the news, but we didn't even know.
Yeah,
wow.
It was, let's see, hang on a second. They got some aftershocks. Let's see. Yeah, that was I think last Saturday or last Friday or something, that week.
Wow.
Yeah, something like
yeah,
that.
We didn't
I don't
know.
Have
we weren't even paying attention, so wow. Yeah, we ended up going down there, and we actually had a really cool experience. One experience we had, we had a Bluetooth speaker, and we just turned it on, and there was this guy. He ended up just getting a divorce, and the other person took the children, took his house, took everything, and he was sitting there, and he had a whole six-pack of beer, and me and Veronica were just worshiping down by the water, and this guy comes over here, and he just sits down on the lifeguard post at Santa Monica and just was sitting there, and we didn't know what he was doing for like 2 hours, and he finally came over in the end and asked us to pray and said he couldn't even drink his beer, something drew him, and, told us his whole story. There's another girl right in front of us who was working with a producer. She ends up coming over, just starts crying right there by the water, and she comes over, and there's about six other people. They were scared to come over, but we ended up having a really amazing prayer session. But it was pretty cool experience, and I never had anyone stop drinking beer. But yeah, he was just sitting there, and he said he was reflecting, and the other girl's like, "That's the Holy Spirit drawing you," and I'm like, "That's right." Got a chance to prophesy for him, and
awesome, cool.
But the other girl, she was there, and they were producing this pretty high-end film, and they just happened to be there doing the whole wedding thing, and she just totally, she was like some radio show host, so she totally backed off of them and came over there and was sitting there, and she was in tears, and yeah, so I think Santa Monica has something coming for it. L.A. definitely needs it. It's a city that really needs a move of God. And, you know, we went down to Azusa Street and went over to Saddleback. And, you know, California, for whatever reason, God has always done some amazing things. Kevin Coleman's last speech was there.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I don't know what California has, but there's something special about that area.
It's wild. It's wild for, it can be wild for Jesus or wild for the enemy. It's like either way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Tonight we don't talk much, but I wanted to hear what you had to say on that. So that's really cool. Awesome. Congratulations. All right. We're going to pray for you guys. Thank you for that info. We always love to hear about God doing things with people. And, you know, I just love it, man. It's like revival on that point. However, whatever level it's coming at. Yeah, we take it wherever. We love it. We just thank you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your service, God. I thank you for Veronica, Lord. I thank you, God. You've given her heart to you know, it's like Mike breaks the thing open and Veronica kind of helps make people feel at home. So I thank you, Lord, for showing them how to work together in that, where, you know, you use one person like the wild man and John the Baptist. And then use Veronica like the shepherd who kind of like, you know, helps them find their roots, help them find their, you know, once they break into the breakthrough realm, God, then she begins to help them to become solid, to find their way in Jesus, to have fellowship with one another and learn to love one another, that kind of thing. And the combination of those two things, God, is powerful. And we thank you, Lord, for opening them up to that dimension. God, where the shepherd has different personalities, has different ways of doing things. Sometimes he has a whip and he's driving out the money changers, and he's got a rod and a staff that corrects and that kind of thing. But thank you, Jesus, for the combination of their anointings, God, coming together in unity, Father, that a very special anointing, that very special oil, Father, that you're drawing them into, God, in Jesus' name, pour that all over them, that special oil. God, in Jesus' name, that behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In Jesus' name, bring that unity thing, Father, of the Spirit of God. Not unity in the flesh, unity in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, and combine them together, God. Combine their anointings, combine their hearts together, God, to bring forth, a two-sided coin where you get both sides of the coin. Not just one side, but both sides of the coin. In Jesus' name, where they'll be able to purchase, you know, like, currency, like the coin, currency, the currency of faith. People literally be able to physically be blessed, dreaming about it, but literally physically be blessed. And Jesus, they break them through from the spirit of darkness into the realm of finding their home in Jesus, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, for that combining that anointing, Father, in the name of Jesus, where two or more agree as touching as something. It has to be touched. It can't just be talked about when the two or more is agree is touching a matter. So when it's touched means that God is breaking it through. He's touching it. We thank you, Lord, for that touching anointing on them, God, in Jesus' name. Bless them for that, Father. Amen. Pour out on them, Jesus, to gather together the harvest. Hallelujah. Gathering in the harvest. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The harvest time. All right. Okay. Can you pray for Veronica's two been sick? Her son has her so stressed. I understand that one. Thank you, Lord, for, sometimes that pressure that comes on us. The Bible says through much pressure we enter into the kingdom of heaven. I think in the book of Acts. Lord, I thank you for let that much pressure that Veronica's going through with her children, with the mother and their children, that they come out of the womb, man, of those mamas, and they never... That connection is never broken. It's always there. It is like nothing I've ever seen or known before. We thank you, Lord, for blessing Veronica, God, giving her the strength to give him to God at the same time, you know, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for cutting them loose and yet, that spiritual connection that can never be broken, God, with her children. We thank you, Jesus. Let that stress, let that pressure bring her into the kingdom of God in a way that she never has in her life, God. Use her children God, like you've done with all of us, using our kids to put pressure on us. Our kids can put pressure on us like nobody else can. I mean, it's just like they can tear us apart in a moment. It seems like, oh, my God. It's like, oh, because they're part of you. So, yeah, and so God can use that in a very special way. Jesus, protect her, strengthen her, give her grace, give her love, Lord, at a new level. Let this much pressure entering into the kingdom of God, much tribulation, much pressure, let it bring her into a new anointing, God, in Jesus' name. The harvest, God, harvest of souls, sons and daughters. All right, 402-214. Can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Sharon in New York.
Hi, Sharon. All right, Sharon, good talking to you. Good to have you. All right, thank you, Jesus, for sharing. Lord, I thank you for that harvest for sharing with you, God. I thank you for harvest. I loosen harvest on Sharon, God. Thank you, God, that she'll be able to harvest the things that she needs. Harvest, that the harvest time comes when, you know, everything you don't need gets blown away, and the things that you do need, that you actually need to live and dwell, that's what you harvest is getting the things that are important, getting the things that are like family and the things that belong, you know, like your stuff that is important. God, thank you, Jesus, for that harvest time of blowing away the things that are not needed, and that she's not weighed down with anything that's unnecessary. God, she only has in her life the things that are vital, that are important to you, Jesus, that harvest time brings that fullness to her, that awareness to her, God, in Jesus' name, where she will not suffer one thing, God. Harvest time comes, it brings provision. She will not lack one thing, God, in the name. Let give her an abundance, Jesus, so she can not only help herself, but she can help other people. Because I know she will, in Jesus' name. Bless her with that, God. Bless her with that ability to help others. That means having more than enough. In Jesus' name, I declare and decree that over her right now. All right, 480-799, can I talk to you, where you from, please?
Okay. MISTA.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who am I talking to you from, please?
Oh, Greg from Arizona.
Greg, it sounded like you were in a spelling contest.
Oh, no. I was sitting here talking to somebody about their car. Sorry.
It's okay.
He said look up Mysticrome, and I was asking him how to spell it.
All right. Sounds like you're spelling very good, though. You're a good speller. All right, brother. All right, man. Good talking to you. All right, we just thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I love to talk to people, so I want to stop and talk, but on Wednesdays we don't do that, as you know. We just go from person to person. So thank you, Jesus, for that place of connection, God. You're connecting him to the important people. You're connecting to the important people. The important people are people that, like Jesus had important people. The important people was John. John was very close. He leaned on the breast of Jesus. He had a need for Jesus that obviously, and that Jesus and him just connected. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing that person in Greg's life, God, that will lean on his breast, that will need what he has, and will connect. It's like John and Jesus just connected as brothers. They connected as close brothers. Peter and James, yeah, they were close too. And you bring those people into their life, God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Sharon says, brought me to tears. Thank you. Oh, amen. You're so welcome. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the body of Christ, God. We thank you, Lord, for Greg. Lord, I thank you for bringing that person in his life that will have that connection. That's the special connection. That's the special people. That's the everybody, God loves everybody, but there are special people in our lives, and we all need those special people in our lives. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing that person in Jesus' name that will feel comfortable to lean on his breast and to feel his heart and know his heart. And, in Jesus' name, open that up, God, right now by the power of God. Open it up in Jesus' name. Let him find that dwelling place, that friendship, that characteristic that fits with him. And different, maybe opposites attract. But when opposites attract, there's because they both lack what each one of them have, and what each one of them needs, the other one has. So I thank you, Jesus, for drawing that in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, 864-439. Can I talk to your friend, please? All right, 864-439.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah, who am I talking to here?
Oh, Walter.
Walter, okay, Walter. All right, Walter, good day, everybody. All right, we're not talking tonight. We're just praying. Thank you, Walter, my brother, for being with us tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Walter, God. I thank you for your all-sufficiency, God, that that you bring him to a level of that though there's thorns and things that happen, everything God's teaching you is about his sufficiency is enough for you, you know, and it's like like God's sufficiency isn't just like barely making it. God's sufficiency is having an abundance, but it's done through the grace of God. God was teaching Paul how to walk in grace, unmerited, undeserved favor, where it wasn't about how perfect we did everything or how perfectly we believe, but the fact that we know we're chosen, that we know that God has called us, and because of that and that alone, I mean, that's what God, this happens to me all the time, Walter. I start, you know, questioning about this, what's going on about that, and the Lord keeps reminding me, you know, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. You are chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are a chosen person. I've chosen you. So when I start realizing I'm chosen, that's part of the sovereign realm of, like, Joseph was chosen, and God gave him two dreams that meant the same thing, which means sovereignty. It will come to pass. And that and Joseph was a sovereign, chosen person. And then he meets up with the sovereign, chosen Pharaoh, who has two dreams that mean the same. He also met a baker and a butler who had two dreams that sort of meant the same thing, except they were, one was going to die and one was going to live, you know. It's like the one was going to, you know, prosper, the prosperity years and the years that killed everything. So there was like these dual things, these sovereignty things. And when you realize that you're chosen for that kind of thing, you know, it just helps you understand that whatever you need, God's going to give it to you. Because when he's chosen you to do something, that means, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's not like everything has to be perfect. Everything has to, he just chooses you. He's chosen you. And the choosing itself will do the straightening out that you need to be straightened out on, whatever that is. That choosing is what, you know, it's like you give him all the glory because he's the one who's doing it. He chose you. He's straightening you out. He's fixing you up. He's providing for you. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to put you in circumstances to train you and teach you for the sovereign realm. Amen. So we have to realize that. So in Jesus' name, open up. All right, 951-966. Can I talk to you from, please?
Hi, this is Regina.
Oh, hi, Regina. Yeah, it's Regina from California. All right. Another California friend. I'm not sure what part of California she's from, but hey, what part of California are you in?
I'm Southern California, L.A.
Southern. Okay, all right. I just thought I'd ask. Okay, thank you. I think Noelle, I don't know what old Noelle, I think she's in Southern California too, I think. Thank you, Jesus, for the California friends, God. We thank you, Lord, for that, for bringing Regina into that place of, like it talks about in Revelation, that the city of God doesn't need light, like doesn't need physical sunlight. What's going to light it up is the Lamb. The Lamb is going to light up the city. In other words, it's not going to matter how dark it gets out anywhere else in the city of God, in the temple of God, in the body of Christ. That is, you know, in this season, in this time, chosen to serve God in this season, it's going to walk in the light. We don't have to. We're not going to depend on the physical outward blessings or the physical outward things. Yes, God's going to bring physical outward things to us. It's going to be because he's going to do it. It's going to be his provision, his way. If he has to create it, he will create it and bring it. You know, so it's God really opening you up and showing you that the city that needs no light doesn't need the light of the sun because the Lamb lights it up. In other words, the provision of everything you need to see and do and know comes from God. It doesn't matter whether how dark it gets, what's going on around you, how much your family does or doesn't serve God. God's really trying to zero in on you and show you, I am the light that lights up your life. I light up your life. I'm lighting. I've lit it, and I'm going to keep lighting it. All you got to do is just keep drinking in the oil, drinking in the anointing, drinking in the presence of God, drinking in the oil. You say, God, not I will, but you will be done. And so when you do that, you know, you're going to see that there's no man's provision. Man says, oh, I'm out of money. I can't give you any more money because I'm out of money. It's like, you know, it's not going to matter because you don't live off that. You don't live off man's ability for the sun to shine into your life and provide for you. You know, the physical sun, it's the Lamb of God is going to provide for you. The Lamb of God is the light, is the provision, is the peace, is the joy, is whatever you need in abundance. That city is going to live in an abundance because we don't depend on the abundance of the world. We depend on the abundance of God. And I thank you, Lord, for your abundant realm for our God. The Bible says John 10:10 says He came to give us life and give us life abundantly. And God's going to use you for that. He's going to show you that. He's opening you up for that. Because it has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. Isaac, I've talked with this many times with Isaac. He was in a famine, and yet he produced 100-fold in this famine. That's the same thing. That's the light shining without the outward provision of, you know, water and the way they did it, the rain, all that stuff. He didn't live by that. He didn't live by whether the clouds brought the rain or not. He lived by what God brought him. And therefore, he produced 100-fold. And you're called to that, girl. You're called to that. There's no way you can't get out of it. Sorry. It's too late now. It's too late, Jesus and Jean and Regina. It's already happened. It's already done. You're connected. That's it. And you win. The devil loses. God's provision. Amen in Jesus' name. All right, let's go here. What am I doing? 8-4, I got to call 8-4-7, didn't I? All right, yes, I did. All right, 251-229, who am I talking to you right from, please? Air code 251-229. All right. I think this is Sarah. I think you're looking for Sarah tonight, God. She may be out for a moment. That's okay. Seems like people miss it, but we are going to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus, for Sarah. God, we thank you for Sarah, God. Thank you for Troy. She's going to be on time. With God, she's not going to be late. Even if other people think you're late or you're, you know, behind or whatever you think, it doesn't matter what they think. With God, you're on time because God works things out together for good for you. Therefore, you know, we don't get everything perfect and our timing's not always right. You know, he's watching over you. He's protecting you. You're in his timing. You're in God's timing. You're not in man's timing. You're in God's timing. Therefore, the timing of the world doesn't really fit you. It's not that God doesn't bless us. Like Jesus said, yeah, we live in the world, but, you know, I'm going to take care of you. Like Peter said, you know, how are we going to pay our bills? And Jesus said, go fishing. Okay, Steph, I'll be right there. Thank you for letting me know. Yes, and for Sarah, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for Sarah tonight, God, that timing things, you know, with some people, we're just, you know, we'll be too late. We didn't do it in time. But with God, you know, God's a restorer of the times. God restores our He's in the restoration, and I see God restoring times and seasons, things you've been behind on, things you feel like you've been behind on, feel like you're out of sync, you're out of set, but you're not. God has you right where he wants you. You're in sync with him, and he's going to show you, Sarah, you know, how to understand that and live in that. And as long as you're walking in step with God, you're in step with what God is doing, not what people are doing, not what people think is right and wrong, but what God says. And God will protect you and keep you and watch you. As long as we look for his protection first instead of our own, you know, God protects us. God, you know,
where people say, you know, we're out of touch or out of sync, God says, no, you're not out of sync because I got you. And sometimes we look behind in people's eyes. We're not on time or doing things, you know, in the way they think. We're too old, we're too young, we're too something. With God, when God chooses you, when God says it, none of that stuff has anything to do with anything. When he chooses you, you know, it doesn't matter what age you are, how old you are, how ignorant you are, or, you know, knowledge-wise and all that. Peter, the Bible says Peter was, you know, they were, when they realized that they were Galileans in the book of Acts and the Spirit of God was poured out, they said they realized that these were ignorant men. Ignorant didn't mean they were stupid. It meant that they weren't knowledgeable of the law, like the Levitical priesthood. But guess what? God chose them anyway. Why? Because, you know, it didn't matter. God does something. So God's showing you how to keep your eyes on him in that area, and the revelation of that will open your eyes to new things, and God's timing, and God's choice, not man's choice. Amen. Man would have never chosen me, but God did. Man would have never chosen me, sir, but he did, and I'm so thankful. And he loves using me because he knows I know that. All right, he knows I know it, for sure. All right, Stephanie. Thank you, Stephanie, for letting me know there. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Stephanie. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Stephanie, 847. Thank you, Jesus, for the personal things that God wants to do with you, to show you his, he wants to show you things that he's, he leaves the 99 and goes to Stephanie. He leaves the 99 and goes to Stephanie. That you will know that that it doesn't matter what goes on, you know, about whether we think we have enough personality or have all the things we need, that we got it all together to be, you know, it's always something, you know, that seems to mess us up. But God goes, you know, I chose you. And because I chose you, you know, I leave everything and everybody else to come after you, to come for you. And in other words, God stops everything to pay attention to you, God, because we all need to know, is God paying attention to me? That's the thing God put in us, to want attention from our Father. And so God wants to show you, Stephanie, that he's going to show you attention in a way that he'll forget, like leave the 99 or forget about what, you know, and it's like he left everything to come to you to show you that, you know, I'm yours, you're mine, we're together in this, I'm on your side, I'm with you, you're on my side, I've chosen you, and I left the 99 to come for you. So God doesn't look at us like, you know, like the world looks at us. He looks at us like he sees the potential in us, that sometimes what God has done is he hides the potential that he has put in us. He hides it from the world so the world can't see it. So they'll look over us. So they'll look past us. And then God goes, no, but I'm going to unlock you, Stephanie. I'm going to unlock you and show you the things that I put within you that men that have been hidden to men, but I've known, and therefore at the right time, the right season, I'm going to open those things up. And you're going to find yourself feeling like, you know, truly God left the 99 to come to me. Yeah, he left everything and came to me. And that's that special moment that God wants to have with every one of his sheep, with every one of his people, where he shows them that I left everybody come for you. And if you don't know that and feel that specialness from the Father, God who sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you so he could have you, that, you know. So thank you, Jesus, for that. And God unlocking gifts and personality and things inside of you that you've not even seen. Ear hadn't heard, neither entered to the ear hasn't heard, eye has not seen, neither has it entered to the heart of men, the things that God has prepared for Stephanie that are inside of you, that when he unlocks that, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know I had those gifts. I didn't even know I had that personality. I didn't know that was inside of me. Yeah. I loosen it inside her, God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus saying, come forth, those secret places, those secret things. The things that God has hidden from the world so that no one could see the diamond in the rough. And Jesus said, come forth.
Hallelujah. God is recruiting you for his kingdom in Jesus' name. All right. 608-960, Shannon. I think that's Shannon. Is that Shannon here?
Yep, Shannon.
All right, Shannon. Good. You know, I was on the show. I'm looking to document things. Today I went on the last couple of days I've been, you know, doing this documentation thing. Actually, it's more than that. But and one of the documentations I have for that I found today or yesterday was with you. I was talking to you about September 21st on the show, about 2.5 hours on the show. I was talking to you, and we were talking about some things I documented today. So I thought it was kind of funny that you were the one I was talking to when I was documenting part of that information. But so that just kind of tells you something, that, you know, now you're into this documentation thing that I'm doing. I got your voice on there, and it's you, you know. And let me see if I can play this. I don't know if I can or not. No, I have that somewhere. No, you can't hear that, but that's but I actually recorded it on my phone, and that's me talking to you about the whole Nancy Pelosi thing and the all the stuff. So see, there you are. You're right in the middle of something being documented, like the Word of God, where they documented where Jesus met Nathaniel. You know, it's right there in the Bible. Now it's like part of the Scripture, part of the Bible, part of the documentation of the Word of God. You know, there you're in it. You're in on that. I mean, I didn't know it was going to be you. I just happened to find it, and today there you are. You're right in the middle of, you know, what's going on there with that stuff. It's amazing. Miraculous prophetic words given from the Lord Jesus Christ to his servant, and you were, you know, you're part of the documentation. I'm going to play that one of these days on the show as documenting that information. So, and I was talking to you, so that's kind of cool. So it's pretty cool. And so thank you, Jesus, for showing, you know, my brother, God, that you're working in his behalf. Even when he doesn't know it, you're working with him, and you're opening up doors. You've had him in places that he didn't know he was being positioned by you. He didn't even know it. You know, he'd been blind to that. Open up his eyes, God, and show him that you've got him involved. He's involved. He's in the middle of things. You're going to have him doing things in Jesus' name. You know, show him that, Father. Show him your the fact that you chose him, that you picked him, that you love him, that you want him, God. In Jesus' name, let him see that and know that, feel that and experience that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Open that up, God. Open that up so he can draw the blessings to him. He won't have to struggle and fight and you know, threat and worry and all the things happens. He will be able to, you know, draw those blessings in, draw that wife in, draw that family, draw them in, Jesus. Let him draw them in, God, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. What is it? Okay, it's after 12, a little bit after 12. All right, I don't think I see anybody else. I think I got everybody tonight that I'm interested to everyone, as far as I can tell. You know, on Wednesdays, you guys know you can call in 15 minutes early, right? Some of you have different time zones, I know. So you call in when it's better for you. So that's great. I know you got it figured out. But you can also call in 15 minutes early if you want to get in front of the line. 15 before 9 Texas time, that is. Might be 7 your time or 11 your time, but it's – there you go. All right, you can call in early and if you need, or call in late. Doesn't really matter. All I know is that we're getting you. We got it. It's happening. All right, thank you, Jesus, for all of your people tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing them. We thank you, Lord, for your favor for them. And you're moving them into that harvest time, God. We thank you, Jesus, that it's you're choosing a very unlikely bunch of people, just like you did with Jesus chose all his disciples and even the women, everything, all the whole thing. Amazing, God. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, going to call it a night tonight, y'all. That's my last caller with their hand up. So hasta la vista, everybody. Thank you very much for everything you do. Tomorrow's Thursday, and we'll be taking communion. So looking forward to it. Bye-bye.